Hey.
Hola.
What's happening?
Not much. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
All right, let's get this thing started.
All right, here we go.
So, you saw Silver Linings Playbook, right?
Yes, sir.
And this was a while ago that you saw it, as I recall.
Yes, sir.
Because you mentioned it on a podcast.
Yes, sir. Well, I didn't mention it on the podcast. It might have been on the podcast.
Kind of like this.
Like in the pre-show, yes.
Right. So,
the part that Doc doesn't script.
Right, exactly. The true freestyle rap portion of the podcast. Because Dr. Jen and I went and saw it.
These are all just parts we're playing. Hmm?
All the world indeed a stage. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Jen and I went and saw it.
Okay.
And all the way from the beginning of the movie until the part where they're at the football game, like tailgating, I was completely uncomfortable watching it.
So was I.
Now, at the tailgate through the end, I was fine with it.
So was I.
But So I feel comfortable that you and I are in the exact same position there on Silver Linings Playbook.
Right.
Ha ha ha, you said position.
Hold on, boom.
I'm the tight end.
And after the movie, Jen and I were driving to dinner, and we were both kind of the opinion, because the Oscars had already come out, and we knew that what's-her-name won for Best Actress.
Jennifer Lawrence. She won for Hunger Games, but go on.
Actually, I think she won for Winter's Bone.
Well.
Ooh, yeah.
I'd like to give her my Winter's Bone.
So, yeah, I think that it was pretty much one of those, we probably should have given you this already, but you were in this movie, so it's here. Here you go. So you agree with that also?
Sure, although I must admit I didn't really see any of the other movies that the ladies were nominated for.
The only other Oscar-nominated movie I've seen was Django, which was friggin' awesome.
Yes, it was.
And Best Supporting Actor.
He deserves it. Christopher Waltz. Although the thing is that, seriously, he was not, the only time that he wasn't in the movie was like in the last 20 minutes of a 3.5 hour movie.
Right.
So I don't know why it was supporting, but whatever.
But he isn't the main character clearly in the movie.
Yeah, I know.
But
it might have been a little bit longer than that, but seriously, it was, he was in the majority of the movie.
Yes, he was. He was.
Anyway, but no, he deserved it because it was, he was
because he was playing another German phenomenal. In another Quentin Tarantino movie.
Phenomenal. But he was really good.
He does a really good job. For some reason, his German accent, he never loses it. He's so good.
How amazing.
But he makes the beauty of what, you know, and the acting that I appreciate is the acting that doesn't feel like it's acting.
Yeah.
And he makes it so effortless. And he makes this character who, you know, is, you know, he's a hired killer, essentially. You know, kind of just sees it as a job. He makes it look just, you know, as though it really is just the guy that sees it just as a job, whatever, you know, I'm doing things.
It's hard to, you know, it is a tough thing to, you know, have to show off killing as, you know, a natural part of a job. Yes. It's very difficult.
Rox finds it
to pull off.
Rox finds it harder to hide the fact that she's killing. I mean,
right.
That killing occurs at a job. Not that she's killing anybody.
Yeah.
So, the reason why I was uncomfortable through the first half hour of that, or first half of that, of
because you know someone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know someone who's suffers the way that he does, and well, I know lots of several people who do. But you know, specifically for me, it, you know, hit home with my nephew and the relationship that he has with his dad, and that, you know, it's, you know, it's, you know, the uncomfortable in that he's, you know, cops are being called out in the middle of the night and things like that. And the same exact thing. So it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, and I, it isn't that I didn't enjoy the movie. The movie was fine, but I certainly didn't like it as much as I liked Django.
It was a lot of people yelling at each other for a very long time.
Right. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of the unique geeks, Ravenface, said that he got up and walked out.
Yeah, he walked out of it.
How far did he go? How?
I bet you he never got to the football game. Got to that turning point where... See, what was interesting is that it's categorized as a comedy, and I just don't see it as a comedy.
No. There was nothing comedic. I mean, there were some funny things that happened. I guess the funniest thing to me about the entire movie was the fact that Chris Tucker weighs more than 150 pounds now.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some funny things that happened here and there, you know, but no, it was not a comedy. It was maybe a story of redemption.
Yeah. I mean, it was at best a drama D. I mean, I paused purposely there because it was mostly a drama. And she did an excellent, I mean, they both did good jobs. She was also, I mean, going back to the whole Christoph Waltz thing, she was kind of effortless. Bradley Cooper to me seemed more like he was acting than Jennifer Lawrence did.
Well, he did, but I felt that his performance was more worthy of some sort of nomination.
He got nominated.
Did he?
Yeah, he was nominated for Best Actor.
Okay.
Yeah. He was nominated for Best Actor. Basically, the entire cast was nominated for Best with something. So the mom was supporting actress. De Niro was supporting actor. Cooper was...
I don't know why the mother was supporting actress, though.
Yeah. What, you don't think she's actress? She really wasn't in the movie that much, right?
No. I didn't think so. Not even close.
Yeah.
But
I think they're struggling with finding someone to nominate there.
I guess. Fill out the requisite number of nominations.
Right. So anyway, it's been 2 weeks.
It has.
Things have happened. The world's gone on.
New Iron Man trailer.
No, I haven't watched it yet. Before we start, I'm going to go.
Better do that.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, it was good. Watch till the very end of the trailer.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm going to watch it right now.
Why don't you watch it?
Hold on.
Why aren't you watching it? Hey, I'm looking on Facebook. Jamin's still apparently dating Samantha.
I'm Tony Stark. I build neat stuff. I got a great girl. And occasionally,
did you pause that?
Paused.
So, are we going to get in trouble if that's on the podcast?
Probably not.
It's not like one of the 10 listeners will report us.
Widge can edit it out anyway.
Yeah, it's
all. And it's all over the net. I mean, come on.
That's true.
Go to Yahoo screener thing stuff. And we've just broken it up sufficiently. We are, here's the deal. We can, I know we can't get in trouble for this as long as we discuss it.
Yeah.
Because if you look at YouTube, people do this all the time. They break it down. Hell, Aaron does a whole thing on this, breaking things down one by frame by frame on, trailers.
It breaks all sorts of shit.
So we just have to discuss it afterwards.
Okay.
Can't I sleep?
You elected me on a single platform. I will defend this country at all costs.
From aliens? Is that what he's saying?
from superpowered jerk-offs that, you know, maybe.
I don't know. All right, here we go.
Someone's not lying. Just bad guys.
This is, I think I saw this thing. This is like the Captain America Iron Man. He has a big star.
The Mandarin must be stopped.
Is that supposed to be the new War Machine? He looks like he's in Captain America armor, though.
Well, he's got Captain America's
logos.
Yeah. Blue with a star on the chest.
He's going to get sued by Captain America.
Well, you know.
Is Rock still here, or is she just kind of... She must be on mute. Rox, are you still there? She got up and went to the bathroom or something.
You don't know who I am.
Actually, that's not true. I do know who you are. You're Ben Kingsley. You're Gandhi. You're a peaceful man. You wouldn't possibly hurt Iron Man.
You'll never see me coming.
You know why you'll never see him coming?
Why is that?
Because Gandhi's so thin.
He'll turn sideways.
Yep. Right
when you go to look at him.
Just vanish.
What are you going to do about these attacks?
The whole world's going to be watching.
The question, where is Tony Stark?
Things are different now. I have to protect the one thing that I can't live without. That's you.
He was pointing at me, by the way.
Mr. Stark. Today is the first day of what's left of your life.
Well, isn't that always true, though?
Yeah, every day is the first day of the rest of your life.
Well, he said it was the rest left of the rest of your life, which is kind of the, you know, it's trying to be a threat, but really, it's just, you know, it always is. I mean, yeah. Isn't it? Okay. And by the way, how many times do they have to blow up the Iron Man suits? You'd think he'd stop putting them in
as many times as it takes, but they're going to blow up more.
You'd think that they would stop putting them in their living room.
Or take them out. You know, put them in not glass cases, but bomb-proof cases.
An option. That's certainly an option.
He's got the cash.
I'm going to offer the choice. Do you want an empty life? Or a meaningful death? More than a maniac.
I'm not afraid of you. No politics here.
Ooh, they found a reason to put Gwyneth Paltrow in a bra.
I know, I like that scene. Nothing wrong with that. Even though she's crazy as bad.
Just good old-fashioned revenge.
We do need backup.
That's your department.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that
like
the Hulkbuster armor?
How the suits come by remote control now, so.
Yeah, all he has to do is wear a bracelet. He has to wear one of those Live Strong bracelets, and they come right out of, come right to him.
But he has to,
juice.
Get blood transfusions and all sorts of stuff. Oh, no, that's just the guy that rode the bicycle.
Now, because I got that through the link through MTV, which linked to Yahoo, which linked to something else. And they said in the caption was he breaks out the Hulkbuster armor. Do you think that's what that was? The
could be because it wasn't flying,
right?
You know, it had to run to catch up or keep up with all the other suits. But as I recall, the Hulkbuster armor
it was already in the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk. Excuse me, not the Hulk. Although I think it might have been in the Hulk as well.
Was it? It was in the Hulk.
They might have had Hulkbuster armor there, yes.
I don't know about that.
I'm still going to ask this question.
Hulkbuster suit.
I do need to ask this question. Is Rox there at all?
I'm here.
Oh.
All done with their potty break?
No, it wasn't potty break. Yeah, it was ketchup break.
She wanted, she, you snorting ketchup?
No, I had to check out somebody's new haircut.
Speaking of haircut, my kids have lice.
Oh, no way! Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I'm just dealing with that tonight, so.
Oh, the man.
Down both of them the knit, or just
do you have the
one?
Knit both comb? The little knit comb? Yeah, do you get it?
Yeah.
Hey, so, I saw it was on The Office. You can always use mayonnaise. Yeah, slurp it all, put it all over the kid's head.
Actually, my
that might kill me. Jesus.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine, like, warm mayonnaise?
Well, my,
that's just gross.
My friend said what you actually do is use the brown Listerine and
you mean the regular Listerine?
Well, yeah, I guess it is. The original. And you soak the hair in it, then you wrap Listerine. It in, you wrap your hair in cellophane and then a shower cap, and you leave it on there for 2 hours, then you rinse it.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that would like burn your scalp.
Yeah, well, and the but then I saw this. They have these little combs now that have like little electrical shock things that you run through your through the hair and it shocks them.
Yeah.
Out.
So what'd you get?
Yeah,
the mayonnaise. I'm gonna do the mayonnaise.
I made an Italian sub on their heads.
Oh my gosh! What? How old are they?
They're school age. Of
oh,
I mean,
right. Yeah. They're
of the age.
School age.
Not driving yet.
Lice.
Yeah, So.
Never had it. I've never had it.
I never had it either, but then there was like this outbreak at school, so.
Ew. Yeah.
Did they go to the same school?
No, they go to separate schools, but I think they might have got it at camping.
They share their candy and combs.
Actually,
do kids carry combs?
Just the cool ones
anymore.
In their back pocket.
No,
yes.
I know. I mean, that was the thing back in the day. It's like, don't share your combs and brushes.
I roll up my cigarettes in my arm.
Yeah. Your cigarettes in your...
Roll that up in your sleeve.
Sleeve, exactly. Yes.
So wait a minute. I just got here. So there's an outbreak of making submarine sandwiches on kids' heads?
Yes, sir.
God, that's
where have you
awful.
Been?
Yes, with a side order of lice.
Oh, my God. Lice?
Yes.
Wow.
Not to be confused with
it's the new Harlem Shake.
John's got cooties in
wow.
his house.
People are eating lice? Is this Celebrity Big Brother? What the fuck?
Fried
is
lice.
Fried lice. Oh, man.
Oh,
wow.
God.
Wow. I've been on the call for 2 minutes and we've hit racism. Is that just everyone's allergic reaction to my presence? Is that what it is?
It is.
We hit racism to see if it hits back.
And does it serve?
Hasn't yet.
Ever.
Oh, yeah, it's saving
people
it up.
Just kind of go, oh.
It's, yeah.
it's saving it up. It'll haunt us.
Our listeners are going, oh, they went there already. And it's only a half. Yeah,
I blame Doc.
For being a racist?
We just, yes. Sure.
Wow, that's kind of harsh.
He writes a dialogue. I do nothing but
just
recite.
Follow the script, yeah.
Yeah, those are your lines, not mine. Wow. I just have the killing in Maine.
That's what I said to Charlie Sheen. Huh? Anyone?
What, that you no? have the killing and maiming?
No. Those are your lines, not mine.
Oh.
Never mind.
You have the
sorry.
Time.
Let's do this table reading over again.
Hold on.
Yeah, seriously. Let's just start over.
Back.
So you're going to put mayonnaise on your child's head?
No, I just spilled an Italian sub on them.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're dealing with that tonight.
So do you add salt and pepper and vinegar? Oil?
No oil, just the vinegar.
What about peppercinis?
It burns, so no.
Okay.
Well, the one thing I'll say, John, is be careful, because if you get into the habit of making subs on your child's head, then there's some asshole named Jared who's going to come around and want to eat your child's
I
head.
Know. Yeah. Oh, my God. So, John,
hey, Ridge is here.
Like, did you, like, skip away from your wife saying, oh, I can't help you. I
no,
have a podcast to do. Da-da-da-da-da, and off you went.
No, actually,
your
I got to go.
Wife is stuck with
I'm
the
going
wife.
Downstairs in just a second to change out some oh. laundry.
Right. He does a lot of skipping, though.
I know. I can just, yeah. He
in fact,
have you ever been around him at Dragon Con? He skips from panel
my
to panel.
God, yeah, he does.
No, I fucking haul ass from panel to panel.
He, like, bounces.
Kind of like Tigger.
Yeah, yeah, a furry.
Speaking of which, I need to find
A furry Go ahead, finish Tigger? That sentence the best way you can.
A furry.
How to find a furry?
No, I need like a cart this year. I got one last year, but it was kind of crappy as
what, one serve, of those fold up ones?
Yeah, serve will attest.
Oh, that was awful.
I have saddlebags on my bike and I have a little backrack.
Yeah, but I'm usually typically carrying several
hundred pounds of gear.
From place to place.
Why don't you start streamlining, going like commando type?
I would love to go commando.
I know you would.
What are we talking about though?
It would be a unique outfit.
Anyway, you know, I don't know. I'm looking at these $100, you know,
fold up cartsy things.
No, the you know, extreme cams, I'm talking about.
Oh, like the Hero?
Yeah.
Those are HD, too.
Yeah, I know. Now, I know.
We're talking about the sound.
Another kind of sandwich again. What the hell?
My gosh, John, we could strap it to your head and everything.
Right.
There you go.
And then I don't have to carry anything.
You can get it pretty cheap for like, what, $300?
Here's an equipment cart that folds up for only $225.
Really?
Hey, Serv?
Yes?
You know what isn't a sandwich?
No, what?
This is not a sandwich.
Well, what is it then?
It's a skull splitter.
Tease us.
It's a skull splitter. Well, I can.
Skull splitter? I like skull splitters.
Skull splitter. Of course you do, Rocks. But I'm talking about the drink.
I know. I know.
I'm just saying.
Well, this one looks fairly promising here. This is cart talk with John.
Cart talk. So is it got the like ABS type wheels that are like skateboarder wheels?
I don't know. Let me see. I'm looking.
Oh my gosh, you know what you should get, John?
It's a lot sturdier than the one that I got.
No, you know what? You should get one of those old lady granny shopping carts.
With panties. I had a luggage cart. Is what I went. I went to Walmart and got a luggage cart. I think it was Walmart or was it Target? I forget.
Walmart? No.
Yeah, when I was in Atlanta, we drove out to, I guess it's Target, and got just a cheapo luggage cart. I think it was more expensive than this one, and it, you know, has the crappy wheels on it and barely stays unfolded, and this one's pretty nice.
Yeah, this one, that's not bad. Now, the video shows, no, I'm sorry, it does, I thought it had like another set of wheels that you could maybe, like a hand truck, how sometimes you can, you know,
better yet.
What?
This is free.
Rocks.
When you get to Atlanta,
hijack.
One of those homeless people's shopping carts.
That's an excellent idea, Rox.
Isn't it? Yeah.
They clear them out before we get there.
We saw them being arrested.
But they're there. Yeah.
We saw them being hauled away.
No, there's one lingering. There's always a few lingering.
There's no such thing as a free Rox.
All right, I'll be right back. I got to go change some laundry.
Some
the mayo.
Some mayo. Some
fresh mayo with brown Listerine.
God, you know, I can't imagine 2 hours with, like, mayonnaise on your head.
I couldn't imagine 2 seconds of mayonnaise.
No, because mayonnaise is one of those condiments you unlike ketchup or mustard, you could pretty much leave out forever. And, you know, yes, it turns brown, but I'm sure you can still eat it. But mayonnaise, there's that egg and oil. Ooh.
Mayonnaise is vile.
Yeah. So is Miracle. Miracle, it's horrible. It's got sugar and it's gross.
Same stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I don't know. I do like mayo. But it's got to be, you got to use it within 20 minutes. 20 minutes and that's it.
It's vile. Disgusting.
So you don't eat tuna fish sandwiches?
Nope. Yeah. I don't eat canned tuna either. That's cat food.
Oh. Nice. Yeah, I burned myself out on mayonnaise as a small child.
Did you? So you lit yourself on fire with mayonnaise? Is that
yes,
how
I
that...
did.
Okay.
Yes, that's why I'm concerned about all these kids with mayo on their heads for 2 hours. Is because you're just asking to turn into a Roman candle. Is what? It
yeah,
is.
It's like, ah, what do we do? Oh, let's just throw matches at ourselves. Don't try that at home, kids.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do that for fun, and look what it did for me. That's why I look the way I do. It's all that reconstructive surgery.
On a discount.
But yeah, seriously. Well, I mean, they did the best with what they could. I wasn't that good looking to begin with. So, I mean, you know.
You know, you're a handsome man.
What, sir, you're being very kind. I appreciate that.
I don't know. There's that comparison photo with you and Richard Armitage. We'll bring that up again.
That was... hardly amusing.
It was amusing.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
we can make t-shirts and stuff.
What, you know what I would like? Isn't it Thorin? Isn't that Thorin Oakenshield? Isn't that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What I would like is a version of that, except he's a DJ and he's called Thorin Oakenfold. I think that'd be great.
I'm sure it's been done.
Probably. It's all that elf house music.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. Dwarf house music. Whoa.
Oh, would that be like ska music?
No. Dwarf house. That's the,
oh my God.
That's the original Chick-fil-A. So.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Everything goes back to Chick-fil-A. Where eventually I will go and get a Chick-fil-A sandwich at 1 a.m. on a Sunday.
We should do that at DragonCon.
We really should.
When's the last time you went to Chick-fil-A?
To Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gone since before DragonCon.
Really?
You have Chick-fil-A's where you live, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Where I live now, yes.
Okay.
With the whole flap that went down with the supporting the owner, Mr. Cathay, supporting some of the religious extremist groups. I was not comfortable with that. I'm still really not.
I don't understand that lone pickle that's on those sandwiches. There's no condiments except that lone pickle. I don't understand their food.
See, that's what Rox is uncomfortable with, is the unipickle.
Yes.
Serve's uncomfortable with their homophobia, Rox with their unipickleage.
I know. Well, it's weird. It's not even a good pickle. It's just something like they found on some child's head because they were treating their head for lice. You can't, you know, cover their head with just mayo. You need to throw a pickle on there.
Kids, don't share pickles.
She read the unipickle's manifesto. That's why she's concerned about it.
I am. It's not a good pickle. They have crap pickles.
If you're recycling lice pickles, then that's not.
Oh my God, there'll be a cease and desist because, you know, Chick-fil-A is everywhere. They're going to find out that we talked about their lice pickle.
Lice pickle.
Well, I mean, I never heard back from them when I tried to take the claim your Chick-fil-A restaurant after the rapture thing global. I mean, if I'm not going to hear back from them after that, I doubt they're going to, you know, get pissed about lice pickles.
Now, I never was clear on the rules here. So at the next actual apocalypse, do we all reset?
Oh, yeah. I get the Chick-fil-A near me.
Do our claims hold up, or do we have to?
Well, see, the problem is this. Just any old apocalypse, I mean, you could still have the original owners around. The beauty of the rapture was that the Chick-fil-A owners, because they are saved and have the
power of the chicken on their side,
and have the power of the creator, and also understand that the last pickle shall also be the first pickle, which I think is the bit of scripture that Rox is missing out on.
The omega pickle.
Which is the Gospel of Vlasic, chapter 4, verses 12 through 13.
No, I don't think they would use Vlasic because they're like Jewish kosher dill pickles. So I'm sorry.
Thou shalt have no dill before me.
Oh, I'll guarantee you the ones at Chick-fil-A aren't kosher dill.
Hell no.
No, they're decidedly unkosher.
They're Gentile.
They are certainly Christian pickles.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's gherkin.
Those are pickles that the animal blood has not been drained out of. So
they're like half and half.
They're half and halves?
Yeah, there's pickles called a half and half.
Well, okay, so Rux.
Well, no, it's more like a cucumber. What?
Yes, since we're on the topic, long pickle or girthy pickle?
I like girthy pickles.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Only because the thing about the longer the pickles, sometimes the mealier the inside, depending on when you pluck said pickle from the vine.
I do believe she's talking about something else entirely.
I don't think that pickle plucking is a sexual reference.
I agree with you.
Against that.
I agree with you. I will concur.
Yes.
I'm hoping it's not.
No.
Because
no,
if
not.
It is, whew, I'm sorry for every lover that Rox has ever had.
Well.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't even like pickles. I don't.
So you hate Chick-fil-A?
I do.
No,
what about cucumbers?
I'm not a big fan of cucumbers.
No, I don't like the waxed cucumber. I like
is that because they're is that when they're very hairy and they go and get something done where they just rip it off and the hair goes too?
Yeah, and then they shellac it with wax.
Can you get a pickle that's had a Brazilian?
So you like your
pickles? It is.
You like your cucumbers au naturel, is what you're saying?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah, no, I'll get like what are called pickling cucumbers or salad cucumbers, and you have to eat them pretty quick. Opposed
or,
to
or do they
the
wilt?
Waxed ones.
You got to get them in your mouth quickly or they wilt, is what you're saying.
Refrigerator life. What?
I said you got to get them in your mouth real quick or they wilt.
Yeah.
Well, see, I would think that the waxed ones would provide less resistance. They'd be more slick.
They don't have as much flavor. Mm. They're crunchy.
But they always a good thing.
Yeah. They're crunchy and rigid, but not a lot of flavor.
Boy, is it getting hot in here?
Well, I don't know. I understand you better put it in your mouth quickly then, because otherwise it might go bad.
That's right.
Like a hothouse cucumber.
Yes. No, we just had our...
No,
they're touching it with their little dirty hands.
That's porn hands. Slang right there.
Right. And there was this guy who sells pickles called All of My Pickles. Or something like that.
Was that his
and
legal
really
name, or did he change it to that?
Olive My Pickles. I don't know. That's what he changed. I don't know. That's the name. Anyway.
I thought Olive was a girl's name, though.
It's Olive's. Olive My Pickles. Something. Whatever. Either way, he produces his own pickles, olives, muffalata stuff, and... We had a taste test on the full kosher dill, and they were actually pretty good. It ranked about like an 85 or something against, you know, pickles you would get up in, you know, near the Carnegie Deli in New York City.
Carnegie Deli.
Yeah. Lots of meat, little bread.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
BRB.
Here's your 4 pounds of meat and 2 slices of. Why do we even give you this bread?
Oh, it's fantastic.
I know. So,
okay, dear listeners, if you have not been to the Carnegie Deli in New York, it literally is 2 slices of bread and like a foot of meat.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but
it's good.
It's everything that America stands for, honestly, in a single sandwich. And I must admit, their breakfast sandwich is really good too, so.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, like most things in that area of New York, it's open till, you know, 5:30 a.m. or something insane like that.
And cheesecake.
But don't go into the deli and dick around and hem and haw and not know what you're ordering.
Right.
Because you will get your ass run out.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, have you had your ass run out of Carnegie Deli?
It's really none of your concern, my friend. Where my ass has been should not concern you.
No, I was just I was trying to use you as a cautionary tale. I mean, again.
Doesn't it get old?
Oh, no. No, it never gets old, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, you know, take that one, kids. If John was here, he could hit the soundboard and do the dun, 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 dun. So there you go. That's my own version. It'll probably make the soundboard for next week. Stick around, kids.
That's right. Stay tuned. You know, same serve time, same serve channel.
Serve is right. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about apps and stuff like that.
I'm sorry.
Like that.
Did you just say serve is right? Holy
serve
shit.
Is right about dicking around at, you know, places like this because, you know, it's really busy. You know, there's a ton of people. They want to serve as many people. They're big old sandwiches. You can find their menu online. So just if you're going to go there, pull up an app. Pull up Google, pull up whatever, pull up a pickle, pull up your pants, and look at the menu. Won't take you that long, you know. So, there
it's
you
important.
Go.
It's important to pull up your pants.
Pull up your pants because they won't serve you if you're pantsless and shirtless and shoeless.
Which is why Lee has been run out of Carnegie Deli.
No shirt, no shoes, no service.
Right. Yes.
Which is why the real reason that Serve leaves the podcast when he does is that by that point, we're all naked. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, they got prime brisket of beef pot roast.
Oh, are you looking at the Carnegie Deli menu?
I am now. Because I'm going up there like in, you know, like next month or so.
Oh, jealous as shit.
So, corned beef and pastrami hash.
Yeah, like pounds of it. Pounds of it on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a carnivore's dream. It's lovely.
And another helpful note for those of you never been to Manhattan, if you are not at Carnegie Deli for breakfast sandwich, but you are at any other bagel stand in all of New York, again, the same rule applies. Get it and move on.
Yep.
Because if you are in A, people's way, or B, if you're holding up the guy that's making the bagel, they are not going to be very happy with you.
Yeah.
Just experience.
I think that's important for just about anywhere, is don't get up to the front of the line and then realize that you have to make up your mind.
Well,
about anything.
Living in the South, like we do, this particular group does.
Yes.
We've all been there. And I hate to say it, but Chick-fil-A is one of the biggest offenders. People that go there, they would get to the front of the line and then they'd look up and, oh my God, there's a menu. I must read every word.
Well, see, okay. Let me just say.
I worked in a McDonald's for less than a month. And it's a limited menu, and I work the morning. The morning is far more limited of a menu than the 10 o'clock menu for everything else. It's like, really? Really?
Well, now, the one thing I will say is Chick-fil-A is more limited than McDonald's because, I mean, you've basically got, you know, sandwich, spicy sandwich.
Salad,
you know, nuggets
wrap.
And strips. You know, I mean, you've got limited things. Whereas McDonald's, I will say that they have turned into like, they've got a little bit of everything. And then, you know, it seems like, I mean, I don't go to McDonald's very often, if at all, but it seems like they've always got some sort of weird, you know, oh, McRib is back or some crazy shit like that going on. Yeah. So,
right now it's Shamrock Shake.
Is it really? Oh my gosh.
It's Shamrock Shake season.
Wow.
Resting your case there.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's just like, but Chick-fil-A even more so than McDonald's is even more limited. There's only so many fucking things you can buy at a Chick-fil-A. I mean, you could tell because when you go to the Chick-fil-A, they don't have to like flip the menus around, right? They have the breakfast menu up on the wall along with the lunch and dinner menu. Why? Uh-huh. Because they're so small, they can spare the space.
Well, McDonald's now has the scrolling menus with the electronic board because they're constantly changing it.
Right. But here's the thing is when you're working at these places, you see the same people showing up every morning. It's like you were here yesterday, choose something. And inevitably, they choose the same damn thing. It's like, okay, move along.
That's I don't understand that at all.
Oh, yeah. He is just a bum.
The delay of it. Because that's me. I'm just like, if I don't know, I'll stand back. I'll stand out of the way. And then I'll decide. And then I'll get into line. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
How hard is that? Anyway. People. Screw the kids. Exactly. And the people. But mostly the people.
And then the kids.
Well, yeah, in that order. Because that'll hopefully give the kids time to get their shit together. But probably not.
So Walking Dead? Everyone.
Hey, isn't it weird that now that every time Carl does something, Rick looks at him in some weird way of, I hope this kid doesn't kill me. That's what I'm getting.
A little.
I presume everyone is caught up then.
Yes, I am caught up.
I'm caught up. Yep. And I watched the most recent episode right before the show, in fact.
And Serb,
I did too.
Serb, do you watch it or no?
I don't.
Okay. Well, I just got to say that the thing that... That got me about Morgan. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Should we talk about last week?
Well, we'll go back to this, but I just want to say this because it's been haunting me. It wasn't the whole thing where, you know, he was going on about, you know, everyone dying and things like that. That didn't get me. What got me was that damn line at the end where he goes, you know, never be sorry.
Yeah.
That choked me up. I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, it was, it summed him up altogether, right?
Well, his whole thing, I mean, his entire rant was just amazing. I mean, you're going to be torn apart by teeth or bullets, and you're going to die, and your son's going to die, and everyone is going to die. You're all going to die. I was just like, holy shit.
And then, the only people that are left are the weak people, and.
Yeah. You know. Lenny James, ladies and gentlemen. Holy shit. I knew, having read the comic, I knew he was coming back at some point. And I kind of, that's the one bad thing about shows like this. And Boardwalk Empire is the same way in that.
Hey, I'm caught up on that.
Hey, all right.
But I mean, when they show you something out of left field in the previously on this series. You know, and you see something and you go, okay, this is obviously significant to this episode. You can sort of kind of guess where they're going. So at the beginning of this last episode, seeing the radio again, I was like, oh, well, this is where Morgan comes back. I just didn't know what was going to happen with the son. I didn't know how they were going to handle that.
Oh, with his son, with Morgan's son.
Yes, with Dwayne, who is incidentally named after actor Dwayne Jones, who was the lead in the original Night of the Living Dead. So,
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I thought you meant he was named after Dwayne Johnson.
Did anyone notice, was this a nod or was this just me scraping for something? When they were in the jail.
Yeah.
And Michonne gives Rick the bullet and he puts it in his pocket. All I could think of was Barney Fife. And the lone bullet that he had in his pocket
that's the entire season.
I'm like, really? I don't know. I might be grasping, but, you know.
I would say, Rox, that is slightly scrapey and graspy. But well done. Okay. I didn't think about it.
I mean, they made a point of here's the bullet. I just, you know, of what's left. It's, you know. Then he puts it in his pocket. Where Barney Fife would, he wasn't even the sheriff, was he?
No, he was a deputy.
There you go.
Nice.
To give you topic,
I didn't go there, but well done.
to give you topic whiplash real quick. Speaking of illusion, God, this is going to go nowhere. I don't even know why I'm even beginning.
Welcome to Weekend Justice, John.
I was watching Phineas and Ferb with my kids the other day, and Dr. Doofenshmirtz, if anybody watches Phineas and Ferb, knows, by the way, best kid cartoon on television right now. Although I don't watch Adventure Time, so I hear Adventure Time's really good.
Adventure Time is awesome.
But Dr. Doofenshmirtz builds this big mechanical glove, and then he puts it on his hand, and he goes, groovy. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yes. Anyway, going back to Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice.
Do you watch regular show? Do you watch regular show?
No, I don't.
Oh, I like regular show.
We did. We have started watching, what's it called? Gravity Falls, which is also pretty funny as well. Got a lot of, it plays on both levels, right? So that's why I like Phineas and Ferb, because it doesn't, you know, play down to the kids, but it also has all these pop culture references that there's no way that they'll get. Same thing with Gravity Falls.
I had sort of a small problem with, like, the first part of the recent episode where they leave the hitchhiker.
Oof, that was brutal.
That was, man.
Well, I mean, yes,
I understand.
No.
I know, but this is yes and no. I mean, do they, you can't not hear the guy. And then they go off to try to look, you know, and then they run across Morgan, you know, to try to, you know, have him come with them. And I'm like, but there is an okay. We don't know what that poor hitchhiker guy could have, you know.
Well, but the problem that you run into is that you don't know who anybody is. I mean, right. hence, if you look at Michonne versus Rick of, hey, I know who this guy is. Michonne's like, I don't fucking care if you know who he is. He's fucking crazy.
Well, so is she.
I will say that I like how they brought in that thing about her also understand, like the thing from the comics where they sort of have an understanding.
Well, yeah.
Because they've both been a little crazy.
Yes.
So, and I'm glad that they're sort of incorporating Michonne into the group in an organic way. And it's not like, well, in the comics, you're part of us, so therefore you should be part of us. They're actually making it make sense in this particular version. So you've got that moment with, Carl and with Rick.
Right.
So I think that's good. And, oh God, if things go down anywhere near what they did in the comics, that will be incredibly important later. So.
Yes. Oh, I do have a problem with, like, those music ending interlude things. It's like they picked up the sort of trope that most shows have been doing.
Now I will say, Rox, I would agree with you, except for the fact that the episode before this last one was a Tom Waits song. So.
Well, yeah, but I don't. It's like, really? Do you need to do? I just.
Well, so far, the other time that.
I mean, I hope it doesn't do that every weekend.
I don't think so. I don't think it will, because, I mean, the last one that I remember was the Clutch song Regulator, which was a great fucking pick. I'm fine with it if it is a, because I think they've mentioned that they don't do what they call needle drops, which is just basically, let's just throw a song in here.
Oh, okay.
I think they made mention of that, like, the first time they did it, that was a rare thing for them. And it's normally because they're like, well, it just doesn't fit. But, the Tom
and plus,
Waits.
Plus, Mad Men takes all of our, you know, funds for needle drops, apparently. I mean, they were the ones that spent a fortune on that B-side Beatles song for one of their episodes. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, but no, I the one thing, I mean, I really liked this last episode. I thought it was really strong, partly because Lenny James was just such a badass in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked, like I said, the whole developing of Michonne in this. So that was good.
Well, yeah, because you couldn't incorporate, if she didn't win Carl over, that would be difficult.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I know I've always had problems with Carl, but Carl's becoming a stronger personality. Oh,
well, that was great because, again, after he, again, spoilers, after he shoots Morgan, what does he do? When Rick's got Morgan, he's like training his pistol down the street, ready for the next one. I'm just right. Like, that is so great. Thank you, Carl. Thank you for being helpful. Thank you.
But he also knows his dad is unhinging.
Yes. That was really nice. And I can't remember if that was that directly from the comics as well.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't recall. No, there was that one time.
At band camp.
No. It had to do with one of the phone calls. Mm. And I think that was the only time they ever really kind of brought up that. And that's when he kind of stopped because he realized Carl.
The call was coming from inside the house? Oh, wait.
Yeah, Carl's making the phone calls.
Carl's prank calling the prison.
But I don't recall in the comics him ever saying,
that'd
you
be
need
awesome.
To step back, dad, type of a yeah. thing.
That was
I don't
good.
Think they've ever done that. I liked that.
And I will say I liked also the bit about from Herschel saying, you said this wasn't a democracy. All right, asshole.
Yeah.
That was nice. And I like that.
It's those things that just come back and bite you in the ass.
Yeah. Well, but I really like that they're paying them off. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
And I also like that. In this present environment, it would be so easy. There are some things that bug me that they're doing, but for the most part, they're doing more things right than wrong. Like, it would be so easy to just have Merle be the one-note redneck asshole, right?
Right.
But the sheer fact that you have stuff like, oh, you were just following orders, like the Gestapo, and he's like, yeah.
Well, that and the whole, you know, the best part of missing Woodbury is the library. I mean, that
was great.
Yes.
That was great. The fact that he's able to, you know, quote scripture. Read. I mean, it's just, well, I mean, yeah, read. But I mean, the fact that he's, you know, he's not stupid, you know?
No.
He's a racist and an asshole, but he's not stupid. And that even... I honestly do think that when he was talking to Michonne, he really was trying to say, I don't want you to stab me in the back while I'm in here.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So I'm like, that's really a nice thing. The only thing that bugged me about the episode prior to this one was I don't know where they're going with Andrea.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't, I'm having trouble figuring out her character because I don't
know. They're not building her up as the spoiler for the comic, the sniper.
No.
I mean, she shoots well, but I mean, in the comic, she is the full blown, what you would have on in your unit as the full fledged sniper.
Now here's a question, Rox. Just like Herschel is now, in essence, Dale, right?
Dale, yeah.
What if Maggie is basic? Because remember, she was the one looking at Andrea through the sniper scope.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, and she was the one who everyone looks to. Okay, well, I'll take Maggie with me. Maggie could be the sniper. But that
yeah.
sort of. But I'm just thinking because they Andrea over.
Right.
And I don't know what they're doing with her. And I guess I just don't know if they...
I wonder if they're setting her up to be the next one gone.
I thought she was going to die in the episode before this one.
Yeah.
I thought the governor was going to wake up and just like break her damn neck or something.
No, but you know what? He's one of those people that he wants to toy with as many people going. It's like that, whatever that science guy's name is.
Milton.
You know, Milton, you know, and Milton's smart enough to go, you know, when he's like, you want me to help her? is this a test? I mean, I loved that scene. I'm like, holy shit, great. He knows this man is bug shit crazy.
Do you actually want me to do that? Or is
yes,
there a
test? Yes, or is this a test?
That's such a great, that is someone who has watched a lot of movies and television. Well done, yeah. Milton. Yeah. That was nice. And I will say this, here is the bit which I'm like, what the fuck is going to happen now, is Tyrese.
Yeah.
Tyrese is in Woodbury.
I know.
What the fuck is that about?
I kind of like the fact that they're playing them, you know, the people around like color forms, you know, we just moved them over to here and they're now this. So I kind of like that idea because it's just, it keeps, you know, the comic fans involved like us because we've read it and we're like, oh, why are they doing, you know, so instead of going, oh, we know A, B, and C, now it's like, oh, we don't know, but we like these characters. So it's still a hook.
Well, that's why I said I think they do specific things to fuck with us, mm-hmm. specifically the death of Axel.
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, I thought they were going, you know, where I've been alluding to that I thought they were going to with him. And I was just bracing myself for, oh God, that's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh no, fuck you. You don't know anything. But yeah, I love it when they pull that shit. And they've been doing that since day one,
mm-hmm.
I really appreciate. So I'm still happy with it. Like I said, my only thing is I don't know what's going on with Andrea, and everything is just up in the fucking air as to where it's all going to end up. And I'm like, there's only, what, 4 more episodes in the season?
They've got
16.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, where are you leaving us until probably October? Where do we stop? Because it's obvious.
I think if anything, it'd be the total demise of the jail, you know, the prison. But then again, it's like, what kind of budget do they have if they're going to try to, in the comics, spoiler, they start moving east.
Well,
to a more populated area.
Yeah. My thing is, I had heard that they were going to do 2 seasons in the prison.
Oh, really? Really?
Which I could see them doing because I don't know if you can resolve everything in what they have left. I mean, I just don't know. I'm almost thinking, do you do a season 4 cut in half like this one was, and your cliffhanger for season 4.1 is the attack on the prison with kill 'em all. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be.
But do we want 2 seasons of the prison?
If done properly, there's a lot they haven't done, you know, and there's a lot that's wide open, you know, not just the back of the prison and the tombs, which Tyrese can lead Woodbury into. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Just remember, Carl, no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
So, oh God. It is just fucking nerve wracking every single episode.
Oh yeah.
Fuckers. But yeah. Oh well. What are you going to do? But yeah, no, I'm not really caught up on anything else because things have been crazy.
I finally got caught up and finished Downton Abbey for season 3. It was okay.
Dr. Jen likes that.
Well, it was sort of weird. I already knew who was going to leave. And I'm like, oh, so the ending wasn't like anything shocker, but it's like, oh, look, it's the truck, foreshadowing, you know, oh, he's dead. Yeah.
Is it season 3? Is that when Galactus shows up at the end? Is that the cliffhanger?
No, it's just a big cloud.
It's a big cloud. Yeah. And Maggie Smith laughing maniacally.
I'm telling you, that Tuffley's idea about Die Hard with that was fucking genius.
Yeah.
Makes me so happy. So Rox, let me ask you, because you're an honest sort,
mm-hmm.
especially when you can be, you know, blunt about it.
Right.
To me, just like my theory is this, because I've watched like maybe half of the first episode of Downton Abbey, mm-hmm. and I just couldn't get into it. And my thought is that just like Glee is for people who really wish they could watch High School Musical, but know that's creepy, and so watch Glee. My thought is that Downton Abbey is really for people who want to watch a soap opera, but feel that only if it's dressed up in pretty clothes and in a period setting does it make it worthwhile. Is that a fair assessment at all?
It is. It is. I mean, the acting is good. Now, I know the weird thing is I'm one of those people, you watch it for Maggie Smith because on this show, and I think they did it, I think even Shirley MacLaine did this, they had their own writers. It's like, oh, we want to change this line. We want to do this. Okay. So.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. So pretty much Maggie Smith has, you know, her own writers for whatever, you know, here's the script. And they're like, oh, we're changing it. So that's why the lines are so great.
What a fucking great gig that would be. Is that, you know, you see this, you know, personal assistant to Maggie Smith, driver for Maggie Smith, fashion, you know, designer for Maggie, writer for Maggie Smith. My gig is I write for Maggie Smith, period.
Yes. Yes.
Now I wonder. Is that just for this show or is that in general? Like, did she have her own writer on Harry Potter?
Not on Harry Potter, I don't think.
Because that'd be awesome.
I think no on that. However, we just saw Quartet over the weekend. Yeah. And that's Maggie Smith, Billy Connolly, Courtney, and I forgot what her name is. Anyway, they're all aging opera singers who are now living in the this home for musicians, opera singers, you know, nursing home.
Right.
And the idea was they always put on a gala type of thing and they wanted them to sing the quartet from Rigoletto, because they were celebrating Verdi's 200th anniversary. Well, you know, she's the newcomer, Maggie Smith. She has history with, Tom Courtney. Apparently they were married briefly. And Billy Connolly's awesome. I mean, I'm sure here's a man that doesn't need his own writer. You know, they just give him fabulous lines. He's awesome. And she really got some really firecracker type lines down. Now, this is a vehicle that Dustin Hoffman directed. And he is good friends with Maggie Smith. And I guess he's been toying around with this idea for a number of years. And he's like, hey, do you want to do this? And she's like, well, yeah. Nice. So, and it's really good. It's a nice little, you know, the funny thing is the soundtrack for this thing, there's excerpts from the music, but from the original, you know, whatever sound recordings, which to me, it would have been better if they did the soundtrack of the actual people, the elderly, three elderly ladies who are actually singing Three Little Maids Are We from Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado, because it was great. But they have, you know, like the original cast recordings from whatever they were actually singing from years ago, which is actually kind of cool because at the end, during the credits, they flashed up, you know, what people looked like younger, you know. Like they had one guy who was like the chief clarinetist for the BBC symphony and stuff.
Right.
You know, for all their, you know, television and stuff. So it was really kind of, you know, so they did a nice, cool mix of, you know, actors and musicians and stuff, you know, people who worked with the BBC or the Doily Cart group for Gilbert and Sullivan. So it was really actually kind of neat. And that one guy, and I can't remember his name, he was in The Vicar of Dibley, and he was the one that always would say, no, 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 yes. That, I don't know if anybody's familiar with The Vicar of Dibley. He's in it. So it was actually really good. And I think she actually had her own writers for this, you know, for certain lines. And here's the cool thing about seeing this. This is the film where you actually get to hear Maggie Smith say, fuck you. So I'm sure some people will be putting that on a ring.
Now, didn't she, I'm thinking because, or maybe I'm just thinking of, like earlier films, like my favorite Maggie Smith for the longest time and probably still.
She was a little bit blue in California Suite.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Her and Michael Caine. Yeah. She's genius.
Yes.
Which, folks, there's an early recommendation for you. California Suite with them and,
oh my God. Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor. Trying to get a hooker out of his bed before his wife shows up is awesome. It's awesome. Because it had Elaine, was it Elaine May? Yes.
Yes.
She was, yes.
And Alan Alda, Jane Fonda, Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, hilarious. Mm-hmm. Absolutely hilarious. So yes, that's a good one. Maggie Smith and Michael Caine arguing. It's just one of my favorite.
Yeah, but I don't think there was like a lot of swearing. No, it wasn't '70s.
No, I know, but that's what I think of when I think of them going, you know, calling each other twit and a half. You know, it's just
right.
Like, brilliant.
But it's funny on how even, you know, you had like in the mid '70s to late '70s, you had a lot of movies where you had older actors, you know. You know, it's like the Four Seasons with Alan Alda and Carol Burnett. And was it Ned Beatty? I think. And some, you know, it was this, you know, a bunch of friends who would get together at least four times out of the year. And that's actually a nice little ensemble type film. And so this to me, because, Dustin Hoffman, I'm sure remembers all that. It's a nice little, sort of similar type film that you have older people. It's like that, that bomb, you know, that hotel movie that was out not too long ago, too. The one with Bill Nye and Maggie Smith.
Shit, I can't.
The hotel, whatever.
Magnolia Hotel, something, whatever.
Yeah. What you mean. That one.
Now, Rox, did you see A Late Quartet? The
Yes. Oh my God. I liked that.
So how do they compare, if at all? I mean, is it even?
It's totally different.
Okay.
The quartet with Maggie Smith's very upbeat. They handle old age pretty well. You know, like there's a scene where Billy Connolly has, you know, handling a dizzy spell. So it's not, you know, they're handling, you know, their own ailments and stuff, but it's not a total downer. Where, Christopher Walken's amazing anyway. And, here he has Parkinson's, and there's a great scene at the end. And apparently everybody in this took up an amazing amount of practice just so they can handle their instruments in a, you know, quasi original way that it didn't seem fake. And at the end, they actually brought in, and I forgot what the, celloist's name was, but she's an actual, you know, world renowned celloist.
Isn't it cellist?
Cellist. Yeah. And, there's the quartet, the piece that they want to play is a Beethoven piece in seven movements with no breaks. And Christopher Walken knows that he cannot continue on. So he actually stops it and brings on this other person. It's really good. Mm. You know, for somebody that, you know, if you're a musician and stuff and it's, I think loosely based, it's not the Kronos Quartet, but it's another famous quartet that has actually had, you know, people moving in and out, you know, that they don't have original players and stuff. It's sort of funny. I saw the Boston Brass up in Binghamton and not one person's from Boston. The original people from that group are no longer in it. You know, so these quartets and little groups like the Kronos and stuff, you know, members move on. You know, I think one woman actually had, you know, an ailment, so she actually had to move on. So it's based loosely based on that. It's a little bit more wrenching in a way that because a string quartet, especially that has like first violin, second violin, in this group, they think you know, that the first violin is the predominant leader, where some groups, they share. Because the second violin is actually, you know, sets the structure up for the, I wouldn't say beats, I don't know music, but they sort of set the tone where the first violin's more virtuosic.
Right.
That's the word. So there's a little bit of a power thing with Seymour Hoffman's character wanting to switch back and forth between the first violin and second violin, which other groups have done that. So, you know, they think, you know, some people think it is a subservient type of position, and it really isn't. So, but Late Quartet's really good. There's a really great scene between Christopher Walken and, oh, what is his name that played?
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No, no. What's his name from Princess Bride?
Oh, Wallace Shawn.
Yeah, there's a great scene because Wallace Shawn has a trio. That's the that's one of the things is Christopher Walken wants to lure the one of his members to his group. You know, so there's a really neat scene. It's sort of funny. It's like one of those scenes, you know that they're friends, and it plays and. Service, you were saying this earlier that it's, you know, you like it when actors don't even look like they're, you know, acting.
Actually, John said that.
Well, I said that, yes.
But it's almost like that. It's like, oh, we're having coffee and stuff. We'll just switch out the dialogue. You know, it's almost like something that they've discussed prior, you know, in other, you know, venues and stuff. So it's a really good one too. So.
Yeah, I remember when talking about people moving in and out of quartets, when Dave Brubeck came to Huntsville and I got to go on stage and meet him and I was getting everybody's autograph and I was telling the bassist, I was like, I've been listening to the quartet for forever. And he's like, well, I'm not the original. I said, I know, but I'm not saying you're not awesome. I'm just saying I've been listening to all of you this entire time. So, but sadly, I'm sure he was just like people going, oh, I loved you on Take Five or whatever. And he's like, no, I was like five when that came out. I was five. I had taken five. So, but yeah. Oh dear. Yeah. Oh, what was the?
Anyway, we were talking about Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
I would say. It is along the lines of a soap opera. I mean, it's kind of neat. You're looking at the cool landscape thing, but on a whole, you know, I was doing other stuff. So it was almost like background, you know?
Yeah. I think my problem is that I actually did watch primetime soaps in like the 80s, like Dynasty and Dallas, because remember, there was nothing else on, you know? So I write myself a pass for that. So I think I may have just gotten all the soap out of my system by this point is what it is.
Well, the funny thing is I still make the argument. I still liked Upstairs, Downstairs better. I'm that fan because that too was a soap opera. It wasn't as frenetic. You know, as Downton Abbey having to show different scenes and stuff. I mean, it was kind of cool. You actually saw Morris dancing at the end, towards the end of the season. That was kind of cool. It's, you know, I like Upstairs, Downstairs better, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, I was trying to tell somebody the other day about, you know, soap operas aren't inherently bad. It's just after a certain point, you run out of the normal shit that you would
do. The storylines, yeah.
And then you have to have, you know, weddings in which everyone gets shot and, you know, characters who die and come back in the shower.
Oh, forget that. I remember my sister, I forgot what soap she watched. And this one old lady went upstairs. 5 years later, she came downstairs and came back into the show.
Okay.
And then that lady
nobody,
was her
nobody
mom.
Said anything. It's like, oh, they're, you know, Aunt Matilda's going up the stairs. Night. And then 5 years later, she comes walking down the stairs. I'm not freaking kidding.
Now, was she wearing the same clothes? Because that would be hilarious.
I don't know.
That's like
I'll
some
have,
weird.
I'll have to check my sister.
Is this a V.C. Andrews soap? I'm just wondering.
No, there's no Christmas trees.
Whoa. Warning.
There is in the first one. They're still making those V.C. Andrews books, aren't they? They're keeping her alive on ice. Right? Well, no.
It's just like, what's the pseudonym for the Hardy Boys? I forget the pseudonym, but you know, 6-7 people were writing and there was no real person. Right?
Oh yeah.
Was there ever a V.C. Andrews?
I think so.
Now, you know what they need though? Here's what I appreciate is when you're to the point like where Tom Clancy is, does Tom Clancy actually write books anymore, or does he just sort of hand other people outlines and they make the book and it's Tom Clancy with some guy you've never
You know heard. What? You I know who it. Does, you know who does that is James Patterson. He's been doing that.
Well, too. That's what Clancy does. Well, I think Clancy does is he'll meet an author and be like, yeah, I liked one or two of your books. Why don't you write me a story and then hand it in to me and I'll write it and I'll tell you what needs to change and you go back and change it and then we'll publish it under my name and we'll make a fortune and you'll get 20% and I'll get 80.
Yeah.
I would probably be okay with that, actually.
I know.
No, what I will say is, Serv, is this, is that they are – I do think he still writes his own stuff because you have the other person's name on the cover with him. Whereas a lot of authors will get ghostwriters and not put their name on there. But it is sort of known. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that, yeah, the last couple books that he's had have been with other authors. And, you know, I don't see him spending the time to write stories anymore. I kind of think he's like, I read one or two of your books. They were okay. Write me a story, and then I'll change what I want. That'll be my writing contribution, and we'll see where it goes from there. So, I don't know.
I can see that. Well, do you know?
I've seen his weren't very good anyway. So
yeah. Well, I'm looking at the latest one, which is Threat Vector. And I'm sorry. That's how it should be pronounced based on the cover.
How many?
There was a cool New York Times article about the way James Patterson approaches a new project. I won't even say a book. It's a project. He lives, I think, South Florida somewhere. He contacts, literally, this is how he does it. He comes up with a story. So what he does is he contacts the publisher, the artist that will do the front cover. He contacts the, you know, whatever grouping that's part of the publishing empire to his house, and they have this big meeting. It's like, okay, this is the meeting. He is like a juggernaut for mysteries and stuff. James Patterson is like, you know, and now he's tapping other people to do the same, you know, to co-write.
He wears a big metal helmet?
Practically, yeah. But yeah, they have this big powwow and they kind of come up with the marketing strategy along with here's the outline of the story that I'm going to be writing. So most people are just, you know, most writers, I just write and then figure out, you know, the cover and stuff later on. No, he has this big plan of this is how we market it from the get-go. From not the get-go, but, you know, from the get-go.
What about from the Geico?
From there. I'm sure he's got insurance through Geico.
Yeah. No, I would say it's, what is it? Hang on, where is it? Threat Vector.
Threat Vector!
Yeah, it's
Threat Vector! VC Andrews!
But it's, hang on, it's written by Tom Clancy!
With,
what?
With Mark Greeny.
That's how the cover reads.
Really?
Now, again, the guy's name is on there, which to me, if I'm like, oh, I get 20% of the cut and I get my name on a cover with you, I'm good with that, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I will say the one thing I regret is that the Rainbow Six novel never had a sequel as a novel. It's just been like 18 video games. I'm sad about that because I really enjoyed Rainbow Six, but oh well. What are you going to do?
Without Remorse was really good too.
Oh yeah. And they had talked about doing that as a movie for forever.
Yep.
And I like the idea of when Willem Dafoe was Clark. That would have been great.
I don't know. He was never right as Clark. I mean, even from the description in the books, he was just never Clark to me.
Well, I thought I liked it okay. Now I thought Liev Schreiber would have been good too. Because I'm one of five people on the planet who enjoyed the Sum of All Fears movie. And thought that would have worked if they had just run with it. But you know, whatever. I'm ready for Jack Ryan Begins. Whatever. That's fine. I think I think done properly, it could be good, but whatever. I don't know. But yeah, again, Sum of All Fears, actually enjoyed it. Five people. Well, four, besides me.
Introductions time?
Yeah, all right, so let's do a bit of introductions, and we'll do them, starting right about now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
It's the Weekend Justice Podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck, which if you've been listening this far, I think we've fairly damn well proven. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, although, you know, there's few of us this week, so we're the Weekend Justice League task force. Maybe Justice Extreme. I don't know. Either way, I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Rox Spazhouse with us. Hello, Rox.
We're research and development.
Yes.
Hello, all.
Hello. Rainbow Six, the colorful number of man. We also have Servus with us. Hi, Serv.
You know, I was going to say that we sent all the other ones on a suicide mission.
Now, is that
all the other members of the Justice League?
Now, is that a DC Universe suicide mission or a Marvel
Suicide
Universe
Squad? Suicide? Well, I mean, no one dies in comics anyway. So.
I know, but, oh, God. You remember when Suicide Squad was good?
Not really.
Yeah, I enjoyed it to begin with. It was fun. Anyway, and we have John from the Unique Geek. Hi, John. Or not.
Hello, computer.
Oh, I think it's time for nitpicking lies.
Is it laundry time?
Or
it might be laundry
time.
That's a weird euphemism. Can I just say to say that you're going to change out some laundry when really you're talking about children's heads, sandwiches, and lice. I mean, that's just weird.
Yeah, you call it, you know, Wednesday. He calls it, you know, lice picking day, whatever.
Yuck.
That's going to be weird on the Google calendar. But anyway.
Don't get mayo in the dryer. It'll smell.
Don't share, kids, don't share mayo or combs.
Yeah. I don't think kids carry combs anymore.
Switch comb.
Switch combs. Hair picks. Can you buy a hair pick anymore? I used to have a hair pick.
Is that if you lock your hair?
No, that's if you had, you know, like one of those, you know, perms, those fro perms. I tried to have a fro perm. It's terrible.
Rox, did you, oh, wait, what's the difference between a fro and a fro perm?
Well, my hair is not naturally curly. It's wavy now, but when I was in high school, it wasn't. So you had to get a perm.
But
so,
what I'm saying is, Rox, I'm trying to picture you with some kind of spherical fro action going on. And
there's
wondering-
pictures. Oh my gosh. If you go to Facebook, I'm sure there is a photo I actually posted of ninth grade. And it's this fro-y crappy hair. But, back in the late 70s, every hair and clothes were bad. They were just ugly.
Well, yeah. I agree. I mean, I was there, so.
Right. But I wanted something different, and my hair was straight. I mean, it was thick, straight hair, and I wanted something different. So I'm like, I want a perm. I want like afro hair. I don't know why, but I did. And it took two perms for my hair to like get kinky, sort of curly. Then after a while, it just went back to being straight and disappointing. And then when I turned 28, my hair became wavy. And my sister is pissed because she has straight hair.
Oh, wait.
Hold on.
I think I found it.
Yeah. Every time I see my sister Roberta, she's like, do you perm? I'm like, no. She's like,
does she punch you?
She'd like to because, man, she would get up really early for high school, and her permanent stance was at a mirror holding a curling iron just to get kind of a body wave going. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Hey, Rox? So,
yes.
Wow.
I know.
Rox, you look like...
Oh, my God, you saw it. Oh, jeez. Okay.
Rox.
All right. You have permission to use it for Friday.
Oh, God. Rox, let me just say, dear listeners, if you can't see this. No. Just imagine. Okay. Imagine the quiet girl who dies in 70s and 80s horror films.
Oh, my God.
The one with short hair and glasses. That's Rox in the ninth grade.
Oh, it's wow.
I had stepped Outlet. Away. What happened?
Jeez.
Yeah, that's
see,
totally
yeah,
it.
See, that's why, kids, I made sure I didn't become a victim.
Yeah, you know, Rox, it's like, it's almost like you survived a slasher movie by mistake, and now you're who you are now.
That's right. That's right. That's correct.
Where is she at?
Alex.
Back row, third in.
Yes.
It'll take you a second. Look for the smile.
I'm next to Mario Tucci, I think.
Look for the smile. That's how I found her.
Oh my God. John,
I wouldn't even talk because, man, I've seen your Wolverine hair.
Yeah.
Your Wolverine facial hair. So don't even.
My Wolverine facial hair.
Oh my God. Somebody posted, it was Ron Methvin. He posted some pictures, and you had this funky facial hair going. And swear to God, I it looked like you were trying to do some like Wolverine hair.
She's right. I saw that picture too.
See,
it's on.
Don't even
it's
go
on
there.
The book.
It's on the book.
Hold on.
Yeah.
No.
I have not seen this.
Yes,
picture.
Sir. Well. Go find it.
Well, I mean, I don't doubt that it's there. I don't remember a Wolverine haircut, though.
It looks like
it wasn't
well,
a haircut. It was the beard.
The beard.
It's like you had chops.
Chops, yeah. That could have, like, flared out like Wolverine.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about. I see it now. The one with Serve. I mean,
yeah.
Shag, rather.
Shag, yeah.
Man.
I know. That was a horrible mistake.
You really want to have a showdown, don't you?
And the picture of a circle of friends By the way, that's at Shag's place. Yes, Shag had Minnie Driver's Circle of Friends movie poster up in the background.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
Circa 1999.
He's blame it on his ex-wife, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But that's crap.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But yes, I survived a slasher flick. Yes. It's like I lived Revenge of the Nerds with that haircut.
But hold on. See,
what I was thinking.
The beard was, that's just how it was growing in at the time.
Yeah. I purposely chose that haircut.
Exposed to Wolverine's facial hair. I love it.
Well, look at the one with my lovely wife.
I'm trying to get to it.
Now I think if you photoshopped away some of the beard and you made it more choppy, that would be slightly more Wolverine.
Yeah. But this is close.
No.
It's wannabe type.
It's close. I mean, John, I look at that picture and John's thinking bone claws. I mean, I can just see it.
So anyway, you have my permission if you want to use that photo. I'll have to find my punk haircut from college years. I actually spent money on really good hair.
Oh my God.
It was so
punk ears.
All my punk haircuts.
Is that where you fought Callisto for control of the Morlocks?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. But you didn't have
it was sort of funny. The department store I worked in had a hair salon, and several of the stylists would go down to New York City and they were learning, you know, razor cuts and stuff like that. So this is the height of, you know, listening to, you know, all the 80s really cool stuff like Culture Club and, you know, Wham, whatever. And so we were getting all these punk haircuts, and our store manager he wanted to clamp down on our weird hair and stuff.
And you were like, clamps? Oh, that sounds awesome. That's very punk.
Yeah. And one woman, what was Joey? This one woman, it's like, no, you can't do that. He's like, well, why not? He's like, it's becoming really weird and bizarre here. She's like, they all go to the hair salon. They're actually promoting, you know, because of our hair, we were actually promoting the salon, and that they were getting a bump in people going to the salon, you know, where normally people would just get, you know, old ladies would get perms. So it was a cool haircut. So I had blonde streak going right down the middle, and my thick hair worked well for hair standing up on end.
Wow. Were you like talking a mohawk, or was it just?
No, it was, I don't know. It was all like burry. It stood straight up. Like I touched one of those, you know,
live wires.
Yeah, like a live wire type.
See, again, you should have paid attention to the G.I. Joe PSAs.
Yeah. So,
cause then you would have known what half the battle was.
This is true.
Still would have been confused about the rest of the battle, but.
Yeah, the fighting part.
I'll have to find that picture and I will put it up on Facebook. But yeah, you can put that, you know, how to survive a slasher flick.
Now, to be fair, how to survive a slasher flick is your 3-day seminar.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't want to cost you any tickets.
And if you really wanted to know how to do that, you just call
Help Me Rocks at 404-382-0769, and I can help you out.
I would like to point out that Slasher Flick was my gay porn name.
Was?
Okay. It's still not.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh my gosh, so my sister, we went to actually one of those Brazilian state bongo food places.
Were there cucumbers involved?
Were you getting something done to your pickle?
Yeah. No, this is one of those meat restaurants.
Which is almost as awesome.
We've gone
it
away.
It is.
No more euphemism. We're cutting right to the bone.
There you
get
go.
It? The bone.
Yes. It's so a massive their bone.
You're flipping it to green is basically what's happening.
Yes. Anyway, we went to Espeto, which is one of those Brazilian barbecue, you know, the gauchos bring you meat all night long. But anyway, she told me of a really cool show. Which, have you seen Super Sizers Go?
No.
And then, oh, this is a cool, okay, we all know Morgan Spurlock's Super Size Me.
Yes.
Back in 2008, the BBC came up with this show called
Super Size Me. Oh, with Giles Corran and
yes.
Okay, yes, yes. I think it's a, I want to say it's got a different name over there. Maybe,
well,
not.
On Hulu, you can see it on Hulu. It's called Supersizers Go. And then it's dot, dot, dot. And, it'll be like goes, you know, restoration, Victorian. And what it is, like Morgan Spurlock's show,
oh,
is
okay, yes.
They actually immerse themselves into a time period and eat the food of that certain time period. And of course it's Great Britain and they have a lot more, you know, history than we do. So they can actually break up the timelines. So the first show, which was really cool, was the war years for World War II, where oddly enough, what they would do is they would, go to a doctor, get checkups, and then the doctor would say, okay, this is sort of just to let them know, this is what you're looking forward to for the week. You know, while you're eating this food, you know, there was like no real meat. You had like a pat of butter, you know, because everything was rationed.
Mm.
And, but you can eat all the vegetables you want and stuff. So they were eating like powdered eggs and stuff. And the funny thing is about the powdered eggs that by the end of the war, when rationing was, you know, going away, but I think they still kept it for a number of years afterwards.
Right.
Kids actually liked the powdered egg taste over real eggs.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm. It was like there were certain, they actually, because I guess Great Britain suffered a lot during World War I, that when they were ramping up to go to war, that's when they bought like they bought up all of the surplus of Spam from the U.S. Churchill had that's where they came up with the rationing. They also had a nutritionist in the war, you know, part of the war cabinet to come up with recipes and stuff to make sure that the people of Great Britain were eating as healthy as possible during this time period. And they actually, after the end of the show, they actually, the couple really did really well, for the war years because they ate accordingly to what was rationed in the cookbooks and stuff. They also showed what Churchill was eating and he was eating quite well. But, the restoration period was really freaking creepy because, it was right after Cromwell, after the, Puritans. And, they told the guy, because of that time period, you drank ale and alcohol, you drank no water, you ate meat, people were afraid of vegetables. So that by the end of the week, you will feel like crap. You will be sweating all the time. You know, they had this thing called a coffin, which was a 2-inch pie crust. And then they just dumped meat parts and then they just baked it. So some of the food was just like awful looking, you know, and then they showed, you know, they did, I got up to like Queen, you know, the Victorians and stuff. It's really entertaining. It's like an hour and you can catch it on Hulu right now for free.
Yeah, you're right. I was confused because it's the Supersizers and they did Supersizers Go and then they came back into the Supersizers Eat, which was like the second series. And then did a special, but yeah, I've not seen that show, but, Giles Corran was really good on, the F Word with Gordon Ramsay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sue Perkins is just really funny as hell. Mm. So I think ideally the two of them would be great. The other thing like that is, and we may have mentioned this before,
Bye,
but
sir.
They've done these, Wait, who?
Serve left.
Oh, bye, serve.
Fine. Be that way.
He apparently got hungry.
Oh, well, that happens. He wanted some powdered eggs. Yeah. There was a show. I forget what order they did it in, but basically they went and to a, they did a Victorian farm where they spent a year restoring and working a farm in the Victorian era like it would have been done.
Now those are the same, that's the same group that did the pharmacy.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
Not the same group because they had a, you had the historian, hang on, let me look her up. She was there.
Right.
But you had the two guys from the farms weren't.
You had an actual full-on.
Okay, hang on. Cosette has arrived because she has watched these things like, you know, forwards and backwards. Actually backwards, which was weird. She had no explanation. So who? It's Ruth what? Ruth Goodman. Yeah, Ruth Goodman was the one who was in all of them. And then you have two other historians who are in the farm ones. And in the pharmacy one, you had a full-on chemist and then a chemist, a pharmacy like student or something like that. But yeah, those are all good because they do, they had a Victorian farm, Edwardian farm, a wartime farm, and I think there may have been one other one. And what? Oh, Tales from the Green Valley, which was, what was that? Tudor, yes. Where the farm was so old they couldn't actually live on it because health and safety was like, no, it'll fall apart. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so those are good if you're looking at what they were trying to eat at the time, especially with this because they were basically making it themselves. So, oh, those really great British documentary things.
Oh my, well, it was sort of funny for the Victorian segment. Apparently now up until like during the Regency and Restoration, it wasn't uncommon for you to have your sweet dessert and your savory food all at the same time. Mm. And it wasn't until like the Victorian era where they would bring out courses. Now, apparently they actually did this one Christmas dinner and they were explaining on how, you know, it's courses now because Queen Victoria wanted, you know, I think a chef. I think it had to do with Albert. Anyway, this one chef lasted a year because he had to make extravagant things. And apparently Queen Victoria was really piggy and she ate fast. So that by the time, you know, she ate so fast that everyone was just digging into their partridge, the plate was being taken away because she was done. It's like, damn, I didn't even get the partridge and it's gone. So, really, really interesting. The restoration, what is her name? Sue Perkins, like practically almost poisoned herself because they also did like remedies because they on each show, they have a chef that either knows about that time period or, you know, would like to cook for that time period. Apparently for ailments during the restoration period, women would like bathe in wine and wormwood. And Sue like had like, you know, sort of like this toxemia thing going on at one point. And they ate this dessert that they're like, oh my God, this is really good. It turns out it was like a poisonous plant. And they're like, wow, we're like really ill. And we find out this plant is like, you know, toxic to us because nobody understood anything back then. So,
you know, that wormwood was a Serve's gay porn name.
Okay. Wow.
Nice.
What? Some of the truth? Hey, what? You want to do introductions?
We just did it. You went for like lice picking.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Something. Or you passed out. One of the two.
Yeah. Take your choice.
Okay.
Take your pick.
I'll take.
Just don't get the squirty kind.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's filled with mayo. So are you worried? So are you worried that there might be lice in your house?
Not terribly.
How many did your kids have? Did they have?
Okay, so wait a minute. So John, 50 words or less. Catch me up. Your kids have lice.
Yes, sir.
And leprosy or just lice?
Yeah, just lice.
Oh, okay, good. That's good.
Actually, she went camping over the weekend, so I'm thinking that she got there.
Oh, see, that's why you shouldn't leave the house. There's stuff outdoors. That's why you don't go outdoors.
It was cold over the weekend. Where did they camp? Did they camp outside?
Yeah. She's in Girl Scouts.
Wow.
It's cold.
See, at that point,
they camp in tents?
Yeah. Not literally outside.
No, see, seriously. It was raining. At that point, you need to make a judgment call and go, okay, kids, we're going to explore another version of Roughing It. It's called the Motel 6.
Well, no, yes. I wasn't even there.
They have black and white television.
I was at home.
John's like, screw this.
I was literally at
home. Screw the kids!
Exactly.
Ew, it was cold.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, and it was raining, too.
Wow. Why would you do that?
I didn't.
Wow.
I was at home.
Yeah, John, you allowed it.
I was in Girl Scouts for like a year, 2 years. I didn't like it.
She's gone, what do you call it?
How many badges does she have?
Tons.
Hey, you should get her some of those really cool geek badges. To see if anybody notices them.
Well, you should sign her up for the Derelict Scouts.
Yes, Derelict Scout.
Where are you going to get your badges made? What are the merit badges for the Derelict Scouts?
Oh, God, there's tons.
Yeah, there's shivving. Tons.
Dumpster diving,
shivving.
Shivving while in a dumpster.
But usually you have to like get...
Forgery.
There's at least three requirements usually. And then if you want to get the pin, it's like 8. So what are the three requirements for shivving?
Shivving 3 people.
How to make a shiv.
How to properly hold a shiv.
That's the Derelict Scout version of shop class. Is basically
how to hide a shiv. That's important.
Yeah, I think that the really important bit is the test where you put them into like, you know, a room and they have to turn something in that room into a shiv.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what I was really impressed with is you remember there was that 9-year-old kid who basically figured out somehow, I don't know how, but he made a shiv out of a Toblerone. You remember that? That was amazing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Toblerones, if you eat them wrong, will.
Oh my God. Yeah, those little bits of nougat.
So he must have taken all the nougat.
They will cut the roof of your mouth.
Is that how he did it? Did he melt away all the chocolate and just have the nougat left?
Yeah, yes,
molded
exactly.
It together?
No, and then he basically just forged the nougat into a shiv. It was amazing, a nougat shiv.
Yes.
And the best part is that you can eat it afterwards.
And then get rid of the evidence, exactly.
That's right.
Rox was so impressed, she handed him a used bowling trophy.
That's right.
She stole.
Which she got her thievery badge for.
Oh, no, yes, that was the thievery badge.
That was the field trip. Is that it's like, all right, kids, we're going to rip off a thrift store.
Not a good one either.
Bad one. A horrible one.
Nothing good in it.
Well, it had the trophy.
Old rulers and stuff.
But that was admittedly the best thing in there.
No, it was.
No, John, if you go to Nerd Merit Badges, I think you should get one of these for your daughter. Nerd Merit Badges.
Let's see.
Fully embroidered, Velcro backed.
How do you get an alien abduction badge? This is weird.
Well, I honestly believe
you
that
pay
I was
money for it. These aren't. One of them's a printer hero for $12.
Ooh. But now I see why this one, I see why Printer Hero drew your attention, Rox, because it's a printer being stabbed. That's the picture.
Yeah.
Now, okay, can I just say, I am really concerned about family tech support because it's a piece of pie might I add, looks to be cherry pie, which is already pushing it. And coming off of either side of the pie is handcuffs.
Well, that's what happens. Do you know my brother is still waiting on business cards from me? He asked me to make business cards for him, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. Every once in a while, I was like, so how are those business cards coming? Working on it. It's one of those things.
Well, but see,
you know that, Widge. How many times has your mom called you up?
No, not my mom. But to be
all right,
fair,
your dad.
My dad. My mom was a systems engineer at a large tech corporation. My dad, however, was in marketing. So yes, I heard the story about how he somehow managed to, within hours of receiving his first iPod, put it into Mandarin. So
what? Really?
Yes, he put it into Mandarin, and my poor mother had to try to figure out how to get it out again.
I don't know. Really? Did he really do that?
Yes, Rox, you know. You know that when there's something like that happens, you cannot explain it.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I'm surprised. I'm surprised it's not like you put it in Esperanto. Esperanto's not even on the fucking device. How did you get Esperanto on your iPad? Anyway, so Rox, what your brother doesn't understand is that these business cards that you're working on for him are all hand carved out of ivory. So, I mean, what is he bitching about?
You know,
time.
You know, because he could have gotten it online, it would have been faster. That's what it all boils down to.
Well, of course.
Internet. I could have gotten these cards within a day. Yeah, well.
Yeah, but that would have been done, dear brother, by, you know, a sweatshop in Indonesia with like 6-year-olds working the printing press. Do you want that on your conscience? Do you want that? I bet you would leave The Hitchhiker in Walking Dead, wouldn't you, you son of a bitch? Wouldn't you? And then stop and take his bindle. What the hell?
That brother would do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I bet, Rox, did you, when they stopped and took the bindle, were you like, wow, they were at one of my seminars. Did you get that?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's what you do. That's how you quickly.
And John, that's how you get the cold-blooded MF badge from the Derelict Scouts.
Yes.
Take something off of someone's dead body.
That's like Eagle Scout type.
That's the advanced course.
It's so funny. We've been playing D&D forever, and my friends and I get together every Thursday and we play D&D. And I always bring this up because basically, you know, in D&D, it's a fantasy game. It's the only game where, well, other than video games now too, you know, you fight people, you kill them, and then you loot their bodies. You know, and the funny thing is every once in a while I'll bring up this ethical question. Like, if we remove the fact that this is a fantasy world and you move it into the modern, oh, my neighbor's house, we'd all be arrested. You know, that you run into somebody's house, you think they're a villain, but you kill their grandmother and you take her stuff because it's okay. It's a fantasy game. I just bring that up every once in a while. We're looting bodies.
And taking
you can't
names.
Do that in the real life, you know?
And you know what I find amazing, Rox, is the somewhat the regret that I hear in your voice when you say you can't do that in real life. I hear it. I hear it, and I understand what you're going through. It's okay. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Stop and get the bindle. I bet if we leave him, he'll get eaten and we can take his stuff.
No.
Now I will say this though. If the hitchhiker guy had been to a Rox seminar, he would have known to set up his backpack with a dead man switch where whoever came across it next, it would explode.
Oh man, I did like Morgan's weird little garden of zombie type perimeter thing. I'm like, that is, in a way, it looked like a yard sale or something. it was intriguing. That whole setup that they had with the little spikies and how to catch a zombie. That was fucking amazing. I loved it. And then at the end, he's tying up the dead zombie to the gurney. Wow. There's a man tending his garden.
Clearing his garden, really.
It's pretty crazy stuff. Hi. Oh, and then, oh, Rob, oh. Hi, Rob.
We're out in the cold weather of St. Louis.
Weekend Justice has now been tested in wind tunnel, and we are aerodynamic.
Sorry.
That's okay. How's it going, Rob?
It's fucking cold, but other than that, it's great.
Yeah, it's
spring is around the corner, you know.
That's with what I hear.
With a shiv.
Well, spring training's underway.
Actually, no, it's great.
Yes. It is.
You'd think by now spring would have it down.
I know.
Or is there a new spring every... Is it like the Green Lantern Corps, where there's like a new one every time they don't know what to do with the main spring?
Oh, speaking of which, we spring forward this weekend.
Is it this weekend?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Crap.
Fucking daylight.
Well, I don't know. My speedometer cyclo thing will be correct because I can't change the thing on my bike. So the time will be correct.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
Is it a Type 40?
No.
Oh.
It's a cat eye, I think. I don't know.
It is, however, a UB40.
Yes. Oh, hey, Rob, are you going to be listening?
People celebrate UB40. I'm sorry, what?
Are you going to be listening to Neverwhere? Did you see that, Witch?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, yes and no?
Yes, I'm going to be listening to it, but however, I may have a way to have the whole thing so I don't listen to it in blocks.
Oh, okay.
Some of the people are in Doctor Who, so I just asked nicely.
Oh, that's cool.
I was just like, Schrodinger's listener? Yes and no. You won't know until the waveform collapses when you open my apartment.
It's when Christopher Lee speaks.
But yes, no, that whole cast is great.
Oh my God, yeah.
I just want to hear Christopher Lee and Bernard Cribbins on the same conversation.
For our listeners who may not be aware, the Neil Gaiman former BBC miniseries and then later novel Neverwhere
and comic
and comic
novel
and yes is going to become a radio play that starts with the 16th, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
6 episodes, and with James McAvoy, Benedict Cumberbatch, Anthony Head, Bernard Cribbins, Christopher Lee, Andrew Sachs, just a okay, can I just say, Rob, as I think I mentioned somewhere, the idea that a cast list has both Christopher Lee and Johnny Vegas in it just blows my fucking mind.
I know.
You just want to be there for the table reading.
Oh, and Sophie, what's her name, from who is the Queen, is also in it.
Yeah.
So, which is pretty badass.
Oh, wait, she's Liz 10?
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking love Liz 10. Fucking awesome.
It's war. I'm not fucking kidding.
Thank you, Neil. But yeah, and I can't wait to hear Krupp and Vandemar. That's gonna be awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
God, what a ridiculous cast. Anyway. But yes,
I know why. I mean, it goes back to we never do anything like that over here. I mean, it would be cool if Prairie Home Companion can actually latch on to somebody, you know, from Great Britain to do a show.
Or four.
I don't know.
Like a good 4-part series would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but sadly we don't have we're not set up for it. I mean, nobody listens to radio over here.
No.
Yeah, don't I know it.
Sorry, Rob.
Sorry, Rob.
Hey, I try retwittering when your show is on.
Well, it's not archived, so.
Okay.
You can always listen to it in the streaming archive and swear at it that way. That way it's not real time.
Mm-hmm.
Because time shifting is key.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shifting sands.
So Rob, we got Rox's movie report. What have you seen?
What did Rox see?
Oh, I saw Quartet.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you liked it, right?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was good.
I think Billy Connolly is just great in it.
He is. And you know, Tom Courtney, man, I'd take a class with him. He's great.
And I can't remember what else I've seen him in.
Courtney? The last thing I saw him in, and he was almost like the best thing out of Golden Compass.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Yeah.
You know, he actually does fade into his roles really, really well. But that's the last thing I've seen him in. But it was really great to see all the other people who were, you know, musicians and stuff of the BBC era and stuff.
Yeah, I know. That was awesome.
So, I like that a lot.
Maggie Smith deals that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't, you know, yes, she does, but however, everybody else is just as strong.
Yeah, it's not like she steals it because everybody's terrible.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You know, so I think Dustin Hoffman did a great job directing on this one. You know, I bet you he didn't really like direct anybody. He's like, okay, what do you want to do?
Well, I'm sure Billy Connolly is not really directed.
You know what? There was that one scene, and I was telling them on how they handle the whole aging thing where he has that dizzy spell. I thought that was really, that was great. You know, it's just a simple scene and he does nothing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a great scene, you know, cause he's just dealing with, you know, a worker, there. I mean, it just, you know, I think he's like the youngest one of the youngest ones in that movie, isn't he? I mean, he's not that old.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah.
He's 70.
No way, really?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
I know, he looks damn good for 70.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Wow.
But no, I think normally you would unleash Billy Connolly rather than direct him. But he is eminently directable because, I mean, just look at John Madden directing him in Mrs. Brown. I don't think he did that on his own, you know?
No.
Right.
But he was great in that.
Oh no, he was good.
But he had hair. They showed a picture of him, and I think it's in the 70s. He had hair like Alan Moore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When they filmed that Route 66 special, he came into the bookstore, and he had wild, crazy, crazy, wavy hair.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Awesome.
But, you know, he couldn't have been nicer either. Because I was working with my coworker, and we're like, is that Billy Connolly? We're like, I think so. And he goes, fucking I'm Billy Connolly, leave me alone. And we're like, we're sorry, sir. He goes, I'm just messing with you.
Well, you know, well, I mean, that's part of the thing is that I'm sure that
he just happened to be recognized.
No, yeah, sadly over here, there's few people that would know him unless you're like, I mean, because we actually went to New York one time and saw him do stand up. And yeah, sorry. It was awesome. But I mean, it's like, unless you're like, you know, in New York or LA where he's performed, I mean, who the fuck's going to know him, sadly? Weren't you that guy in Fido? Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. So what have you seen, Rob? What's the word?
Well, I saw the Liz and Lee, or the, I'm sorry, the Rox and Lee, biopic called Oz the Great and Powerful.
You did? Okay. What do you think?
Well, it's a Sam Raimi movie, so if you like Sam Raimi's style of directing and his style of films, you will like it. Once again, Bruce Campbell steals it. He's like a gatekeeper in it.
And really?
He's hilarious. You know, Mila Kunis is not as terrible as I thought she was going to be in it. I just wasn't sure, you know, how this was going to work. Michelle Williams is great in it. And, you know,
Franco's really good in everything. It looks amazing. It's just, it's one of those movies that, like, you know, in general, I liked it. I thought it was okay. It's not like, you know, the Jack and the Beanstalk thing where you just know going in it's going to be fucking horrible. Mm. It's just one of those things that if you like, if you really understand Frank Baum and you really have read a lot of the other books, you might have to sort of go, okay, all right, it's a film adaptation, I'll deal with it, right? But if you like that sort of style and the way it looks, like, Rox, you will just love the way it looks and the style and the feel.
Oh, I do. That's why, you know, it's like I'm taking it with a big grain of salt just for, like, visual eye candy only.
Yes, yeah, that's the payoff. For me, the payoff was the eye candy, James Franco, and the effects. You know, the story is not, you know, it's a popcorn movie, but it's a better popcorn than most. And I think releasing it now was really smart because I think if it came out much later in the year, it might have gotten lost. But you know, if this is one of those movies that like a younger audience could go to this film and just be completely lost in sort of the whole wonder of it, you know? And if it does that kind of experience for kids, when they do that thing like they go through when we saw like The Wizard of Oz or like a really cool movie and just go, you know, that really was awesome. Then it's done its job. You know, it's probably, you know, I think that they don't know how to market it. I don't know whether they're trying to market it as a kid's movie or like as an adult fantasy film. And I think that that's hurting it because even, you know, the people with the agencies are like, oh, well, you know, like the people I deal with all sort of knew because they read comics and they read other books and stuff. So they kind of got it. But even they were like, they don't know really what this film is, sort of. And I think it's going to be a film that gets word of mouth. And I think it's going to be a film that sort of, it's got to get out of the gate really well if it's going to stick around. Because believe it or not, Rox, you and I seeing it, it's going to make its box office. You know?
Yeah.
But it's really immaculately done. And I think Raimi sort of visually stretches it a little bit, you know? It's kind of, I hate to say it, but it's like what a Tim Burton movie would look like if Sam Raimi were to reimagine what a Tim Burton set would look like.
Huh.
It kind of straightens out all the weird stuff that Tim Burton does for the sake of being weird, roughs it out and says, okay, this makes a little more sense. The casting in it is better than I thought it was going to be. And Raimi's in it himself, but I'm not going to tell you where.
Well, and I have to say, when you're talking about if you like Sam Raimi's style of directing, if you meant by that like Evil Dead 2 Dead by Dawn style of directing, then I would be all fucking over it because that would be fantastic.
Well, it's a fantasy film, so it's probably more closer to Spider-Man than it is that, you know. But it's, I mean, he has a sense of visual style. He has a sense of, like, drama. It's got his sort of, like, focusing on facial expressions and things. But you know, he completely has made a universe and goes with it. You know, he bought it. Okay, this is what this universe is going to look like. This is the dilemma this guy has in this new environment. And, you know, you're buying it. Sorry. You know, he's just sort of very much, it's very much a film he made on his terms.
Hmm.
Huh.
And I think a lot of people went to the screen that I didn't expect to come away liking it, but did. And I think that's a good thing because there's a couple people I know that don't like, you know, they just make it a point. I mean, they would hate 2001. I mean, they don't like science fiction films or fantasy films. I mean, even they thought it was, you know, good. I mean, my big fear going into it that it was going to turn into like Stardust, like how that was done into a film. And, you know, but it's not, you know, it is not. Understand, you know, I think you'll know what you're going to go into. When you go into, you're gonna know what you're gonna get. It's like, okay, I know what James Franco is gonna do. I know what the bomb universe is like. And, I kind of get where this story is gonna go, but you're just gonna spend so much time looking at it because I'm, oh, I really like how that looks. Oh, look at that hat. Oh, that's cool. You know, Rox will just be like, I want a balloon like that. So.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, Rox will be like, I've had a balloon like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. At this point, I'm good because I'm like, I don't know. After James Franco, his track record of being, you know, the only good thing, well, he and Mila Kunis being the only good things in Date Night, him being the only good thing in Green Hornet. Yes, even with Christoph Waltz in the equation, the only good thing in Green Hornet. And then after 127 hours, I sort of owe it to see pretty much anything he's in. Although yeah. I would like to see. God,
that
what's
movie The End he's doing looks funny.
The what?
He's doing this movie called The End. There's a trailer for it that they show.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
In like an apocalypse bunker.
Yeah,
it's with him and Seth Rogen wrote it.
Yeah, yeah, that looks like it might be fun.
It's got they're all playing themselves, and it's about the end of the world.
Yeah, and so like Jonah Hill's in it,
and
a couple of a bunch of their friends. You know, they even make jokes.
Craig Robinson,
Siegel's dead. Yeah, sorry, they even make jokes like Siegel's dead, and a lot of their friends are dead. You know, and they're left, so that makes it work.
Huh. Okay.
Well, the thing they said Michael Cera died, and they're like, well, if Michael Cera died, it can't be all that bad.
Yeah. Nice. Although I do want someone to create a film in which James Franco and Sam Rockwell can do anything, really. I'd be fine with that.
Directed by the guy who did Moon.
Oh, God. Oh, fucking Moon. It's awesome.
Oh, I love Moon. That was great. Yes.
And,
when we get offline later, I can tell you something about him later.
Good or bad?
Oh, it could be really great.
Okay, well, good.
He's the next Doctor Who.
Didn't you? Yeah.
Sam Rockwell is, yes.
No. He could, Bowie's kid is one of the people that might be on the short list to do a story next season.
No, I want to see Sam Rockwell as the Doctor.
Well, if there's an American Doctor Who, you probably would.
No. I'm not going to watch it either way.
I still want to see Bill Nighy being the Doctor, but, you know, I'm not going
to. The science guy?
No.
Now, let me just ask you, Rob, because Bill Nighy makes everything better.
The science guy?
Yes, John, the science guy. Would you rather him be the Doctor or the Master?
I'd rather him be the Doctor.
Mm.
And then have like either John Cleese or the aforementioned Billy Connolly be the Master.
John Cleese? Really?
Yeah. Because the one thing they've never done with the Master is they've always made him like either zany over the top or really sinister. They've never made him be like snide and snarky and just really sort of punchy clever, sort of in that way that Cleese is. You know, like, well, Doctor, I only left you 15 clues, you know, but yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't have thought of that. I think, although again, I mean, I will watch.
Well, I think Nighy would be so cerebral that would be a nice compliment off of it.
Well, I will watch Bill Nighy in practically anything because he makes everything better.
Yes.
He improves everything, and I think they should just cast him in everything. Yeah. Oh, speaking of casting everything, you guys saw the new Iron Man 3 trailer, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, we had a long discussion about it before you got on the podcast.
Oh, you were talking about lice.
Well, that's true, too.
No, so are we still pleased, happy, sad, frightened? What are we?
I'm okay so far.
I'm okay. It's an Iron Man. It's Iron Man.
Yeah.
Even Iron Man 2, for all of its faults, was still...
Oh, no. When I rewatched it, I realized it was better than I had probably thought at the time. It held up better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, the first one is still fucking awesome, so...
Yeah, I just...
It's no Avengers.
I didn't love Nick Rourke, but I can deal with it.
Yeah.
The only problem I have with Mickey Rourke is I don't understand his fingernails.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That guy looks dirty.
He looks dirty. That's right. He always looks dirty.
They're touching it with their little dirty hands.
It's so true.
He is a bum. Yes.
If you knew someone that was dirty like Mickey Rourke, where would they call to get help?
They can call 404-382-0769 for Help Me Rocks. You know who looks dirty, too, is Pamela Anderson.
Well, there's a reason for that.
I don't know. She always looks like there's, like, grime on her. I don't know, something skivatsy about her.
Well, skivatsy?
Yeah, it's a Polish word.
Oh, I thought that would have been like ski ball in Russian.
I'm sorry, I think that Rob just said she was the best Chewbacca since George Michael.
No, I said that it would either be Bret Michael or Sebastian Bach. She said she had grime on her. Never mind.
Oh.
Hopefully we'd get it.
No, I get
it. Oh, yeah. We got like half the people on this thing aren't really music aficionados.
That's okay. I consider John a music person. He's all right.
Yeah, all right. He does things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Music. Tunes. Sounds.
He's down with the foo.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, grime on her. Oh, okay. I'm with you.
Grime.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I took me a second.
Okay. There's a crime otter on her.
I liked mine. She's the best Chewbacca since George Michael, but that's okay.
That is actually an unused Zoo Crew villain was Crime Otter.
Well, the problem is it just made Scott very excited.
What? Who? What?
Because of Crime Otter? Mm.
No, if you were to say that she's the best Chewbacca since George Michael, he probably would have just made Scott very excited.
I thought he was making a Scott Shaw reference, and I was going to be really impressed, but never mind. Thank you. Oh, my God.
What else do you kids talk about?
Well, let's see. We talked about lice, sub sandwiches, and pickles. We also went through Walking Dead and Downton Abbey. Okay. We talked about ghostwriting for Tom Clancy.
Yes.
Rox revealed her Afrocentric past. And we talked about, we had some ideas for Daryl Scout badges.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, about Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Dan Stevens left that role, right?
Yes.
Who?
It's you, Dan Stevens. The guy who played Mary's husband.
The guy's going to be the next...
He left.
The guy's going to be the next doctor.
Now, thank you. I ask you, Rox. If he were to leave that show in the height of its popularity because he needed time off before a big role, what would that send in the back of your head? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, you know.
Weekend at Bernie's a series.
No, awesome. You know, I heard from what I read, he's getting the Hollywood.
Yeah.
That he's being lured by us.
Yeah, I mean, he was one
Which
of
the weird thing is
specifically us? That seems weird.
Yeah,
I don't even know
us.
Who we're talking
he's
about.
He's going to be on Weekend Justice. You didn't really hear it from us, but, you know, one day soon. The weird thing he's an okay character. I mean, Witch and I were talking, you know, it's a soap opera. Yes, it has a big following. I watch it because I know for a fact Maggie Smith has her own writers for her little zingers and stuff.
Yeah.
On a whole, I'm a fan of Upstairs, Downstairs. You know, I don't, you know, the weird thing is, we already had a whole season of him and Mary being married, so what are they going to do? Well, they got to kill him off because, you know, as a soap opera, you need to have some sort of weird tension, emotion thing going on for people to be interested in.
Well, I think what happens now is that he takes the time off so he can come back as the twin brother of the character.
That's right.
But the only difference is he's got an eye patch, see?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was going to have a goatee.
No, that would be if it was in the 30s. He'll have to wait like 10 years.
Didn't get the role on that from the audition for it, which I thought was interesting.
You know who's leaving? Is that Mrs. O'Brien.
On a jet plane?
That's kind of a bummer.
Which is funny because she's actually kind of a weird, cool, villainous-y type character out of that show.
Does she remind you of, like, a parallel universe Alice in the Brady Bunch? Like
yes,
Alice
she
in the Brady
does!
Bunch.
Holy crap! Yes!
Now, see, there's a crossover I'd like to see. It's a Brady Bunch Downton Abbey crossover.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but the Brady's going to... They go to Mr. Brady's den and they have
a wormhole that takes them into the early 1920s.
Yes.
I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah, I just want to hear,
yeah, you just got to watch Alice in that, you know, the bar of soap. Hey, yeah, Mrs.
Carson and Alex probably have a thing.
Well, you know, Sam the Butcher comes by delivering the meat. Yes.
Yeah, he
does. Sam the Butcher and the Ace probably hang out.
Yes. That would be great.
Oh, oh dear.
Oh, my God. And what's her face with Jan Brady?
God, that would be, that's Edith. No, that's Edith in the show. Jan Brady is Edith.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Mary, Mary, Mary. Oh my God. There we go. We just summed up Downton Abbey as a, you know, a Brady Bunch.
Now, but wait a minute. I just saw this. Apparently from last year, Vince Vaughn is supposed to be producing a Brady Bunch sequel series, about an adult Bobby Brady who is starting a new family.
Sounds great. Where do I sign up?
Are you insane?
Yes.
But Bobby was boring.
Yeah.
You know, if there was somebody that would get a show, it'd be Peter, I think.
You already had one.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those reality things.
Although, Bobby, if they thought that Bobby Brady had, like, bodies buried in the Brady house or something, that'd be awesome.
Well, you know, no one ever knew what happened to Tiger the dog.
Bobby Brady buries bodies?
That was actually the TV movie that they did in 98 called A Very Brady Mass Slaying.
Yeah.
It was actually, the tiki idol that made him do it.
Yes.
You could argue that Peter Brady is actually the governor in The Walking Dead.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. But no. But it can't be. It can't be the Gary. No. It's, but I would want, oh, God. Shit. What's his name? Fuck. Oh. I would want Robert Reed as the governor and not to Gary Cole, but Robert Reed.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I probably started thinking Gilbert and Sullivan.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, the thing is Mr. Brady, you know, Mr. Brady does those weird little, you know, monologue things, you know, as he's discussing history and stuff. And you know what? Those are perfect needle drops for Mr. Brady, the governor.
It would be really great if when Oliver starts to turn, he just walks up and shoots him. That'd be awesome.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oliver. Oliver could be the hitchhiker there, Widge.
Actually, Cousin Oliver could be the guy with the glasses that hangs out with the governor.
Yes, you're right.
God, I was just
and then
I was just
somehow
looking on,
we just had to roll, you know, Mayberry RFD into all of this.
I'm so very sad because I'm just looking through Google Images to see if there was ever a picture of Robert Reed in an eye patch, and I'm not finding it. Damn it!
Maybe when he was on the you know, dinner theater circuit.
I'm not finding it. Oh. So, dear listeners, if you are aware of a Robert Reed eye patch picture, for fuck's sake, get right on it.
Yes, please do. So, if not, Friday's picture will be my horrible ninth grade picture.
Locke, did you ever read the Barry Williams Brady Bunch book?
No.
Oh, it's really great.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I just finished the Confessions of a Prairie Bitch by Alison Engram, who played Nellie Olson. That's a great book. Oh my God, I so want her to show up at Dragon Con. And she could be at the villain panel. That would be awesome.
We could make her the fist bump queen.
Yes, we can.
Well, I will say this. I can't find Robert Reed. But if we can, in an eye patch, but I did find a picture of his cousin, and that would be a great governor too, since we've already cast a Brit, would be Oliver Reed.
Oh my God. Yeah.
A young Oliver Reed? Oh,
yes.
Yes. Fantastic. Oh, my God. That is going to be with me for the whole week. Is the Brady patriarch as the governor. Oh,
see, now you're going to go down and you're going to tell Chris that. So it's on the podcast. It came up that Robert Reed should be the governor. And this is going to be mad again.
Oh, my gosh. What heads would be in the tanks? Alice's would
Oh,
be-
my God. No. No, wait. Oh, God, I'm dying.
The woman who made the compact, her factory like a compact, she would be.
Wait. No.
Mr. Phillips would be in it.
Wait.
Mr. Phillips would be Scott Wilson.
Wait. It's, you would have all the other characters from the other Sherwood Schwartz series.
Oh. Yeah. Ginger.
Yeah.
And
all
of Gilligan's Island.
Yes. Perfect.
Oh my gosh, this is just in. Carrie Fisher confirms she's returning to Star Wars.
Oh God.
Didn't Harrison Ford also do the same?
Yes, yeah, he was the first one. But you know, they need the princess. Disney needs the princess.
Yeah, but do they need one that's 90 years old?
Well, they need this because it's got to start up with their princess, you know, juggernaut of selling princesses to little kids at Disney.
To be fair, probably, John, what they're doing is they're trying to bring back the cast from the good Star Wars films to make us forget about the shit Star Wars films.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And we know that Mark Hamill's going to say yes, because, I mean, seriously, what else is he doing?
Yeah.
Voiceover.
Oh, he's doing the voice of Skips on regular show. And the funny thing is for some weird reason, he can really... His voice for Skips, this character on regular show, sounds like Harvey Fierstein.
Yes, I will say this though.
He's good.
Yeah, he's great in his voice work, and he is one of the nicest people at a convention I've ever seen.
Really? Well, that's cool.
Because I saw him at the convention when the, the X-Commander game or X-Wing, whatever the hell the game was it was out, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And he, Wing apparently Commander. At this convention, could only, he was, because that company had paid for him to come there, he could only promote the game, right? Wing Commander. He was there for Wing Commander.
And Wing Commander 3 specifically.
Yeah, he was basically told by his handlers, you know, this is your contract. You're going to have to, promote Wing Commander and do all this Wing Commander stuff. If you go outside of that, then, you know, there's going to be money you're going to forfeit and there's all these sort of financial things that you won't get. And, you know, he just sort of said after the third person asked him about Star Wars, he's like, you know, that's not really fair to all of you people, and I'm going to lose a little money, but you came here to ask me about Star Wars. It would be wrong for me not to talk about that. And I just thought that was, you know, and he was one of those people that was like, made it a point to be cool to, like, kids, which, you know, I can't say some guests do, you know. I think as an actor, and I include voice actors as actors, I think he's totally comfortable in the show, and I think he's totally like, you know, this is my career. I will make my living doing it. And I think he's probably, at the end of the night, I bet he sleeps better than Harrison Ford, because he's had a pretty steady career for 30 years working. And most of, you know, when's the last time you said that you heard Mark Hamill of something that was shit?
In fairness, Mark Hamill probably sleeps better than Harrison Ford, because Harrison Ford keeps rolling over on Calissa Flockhart and stabs him in the side. So,
yep.
There is that problem.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's not right. I mean, it's funny, but it's not right.
Well, it's correct.
I like Evil John. Evil John needs to be on the podcast more.
Mm-hmm.
God, you know what? We would have Evil John and Drunk Aaron, and they could form their own Justice Legion of Doom.
I think when Rox and I take over the Tonight Show, we're not going to bring Scott along. We're going to bring John along instead.
There was a question about that?
Huh.
Well, originally, we were going to bring Scott along, and you were going to lead the band, but now I think we have you do something else.
I completely forgot that Ginger Lynn was in the... Wing Commander 3 series as well, or game as well, as Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Interesting.
Well, yes.
I know there was a reason why I was masturbating to that. I mean,
are they gonna have the droids in the new Star Wars movie? Because they kind of have to.
Well, that was the whole...
What? Of course they're gonna have the droids.
Well,
right?
They better hurry, because Kenny Baker ain't getting any fucking younger.
Well, to be fair, none of them are.
yes.
Yeah.
That's time only goes one direction.
Yes, I know it was a galaxy far away, but...
Respectfully, a lot of those actors don't live long lives, except for, you know, Mickey Carroll was very lucky.
Yeah.
You know, so Billy Barty died young. I mean, a lot of those guys died, so...
But do you really need Kenny Baker? I mean,
Billy Barty was 76. I mean, that's not a straight chicken.
I thought he was in his like mid 60s. Okay, I stand correct.
No. I'm with you. I just remembered for the longest time Billy Barty was forever with us, and the fucking shame went. Yeah.
I mean,
but
I think Kenny Baker is the oldest of the living cast. I think, but I could be wrong.
That's a good question. Let's see.
I'm sure Anthony Daniels will sign up. He's got nothing else to do.
Kenny Baker is 78.
Wow.
But again, do you really need him?
Yeah, if they try to do it without him, I think there would be war. Anthony Daniels is only 67.
Well, okay, let's do this. Let's presume that he unfortunately passes on.
Yeah.
You can still do the film without
him. I know.
You know what I'm saying here, right? I'm trying to
I don't know why I'm
trying to be politically correct, but...
No, John, you're fine. Like I said, I like Evil John. It's great.
I mean, we can just stuff Scott down into that trash can.
No.
That's a. Never mind.
He'd have to be in the C-3PO suit.
Okay, John, that's not how you get a dumpster diving badge. I just want to be clear about that.
See, I'm getting confused because dumpster diving I thought was a sexual move, but maybe.
Well, it might have been when, you know, you and Serv had your porn career, but these days, not so much.
Oh, okay. Me, I did work with Ginger Lynn once.
Yeah, well, that was that film of yours that I saw, Behind the Green Lid. Yeah, that was a good one.
And by work, I mean she was on the computer. I was over here.
Dealing with light and mayonnaise.
Back then, computers were much, much larger, so you could have been over there and still on the computer with her.
That's right.
Well, I had a lot of time. I was waiting for everything to download.
The great thing is now... is
line by line.
John,
would you like
John
to check out my punch card stack?
John is now the 6 degrees of separation between Ginger Lynn and Sylvester McCoy.
Well, now you're famous, John.
Hey, have you? Where are you at in the following? Have you been keeping up or no?
I have not had a chance to go for it anymore.
I hear it's really good. And actually, John, you were one of the people I was going to ask if it was good.
Oh, yeah. It's excellent.
So far, I am pleased. And it's gotten picked up for a second season.
Well, I would. They've devilishly figured out how to make it continue on.
Say no more. Say no more.
Yeah,
say
yeah.
no more.
I mean, it's
I
a lot
figured out.
It's a lot more devious than what I had originally thought. I was like,
well, see, I thought it was pretty fucking devious to begin with. So when you were like, I don't know how they could keep going, I'm like, really?
Well, you know, because you got to think at some point it's, you know, just
yeah.
Anyway. I don't want to spoil it because it's
no. I will get there and I will report back. But
they're doing a nice bit of world building. Let's put it that way.
Oh, good. I fucking love world building. So we should probably mosey towards recommendations as it's getting that time. You know what? We didn't because, I don't think anyone gave a shit.
For what? What
the Oscars.
Oh,
I went to an Oscar party and I just remember sitting there with a whole room full of people that were collectively numb about Life of Pi winning all this shit. I'm sorry. I just don't fucking get it.
Well, but I mean, I, to be fair.
Life of Pi got what?
Shit. No, I mean, it won things.
It got more than any other film. It got four and the others got three.
Huh? My wife saw that and said it was horrid.
And Argo got three, and linking that to.
So to be fair, having not seen it, I'm not going to completely slam it. I was slamming it for its fucking god-awful 5-minute, what the hell is this preview, which soured me on the whole deal. I'm happy for Daniel Day-Lewis. It makes sense. I'm happy for Christoph Waltz. That makes sense. Although I would have liked Tommy Lee Jones to get that. It wasn't much very exciting I found about it. It's just sort of like, okay.
The Bond thing sucked.
You what?
The Bond thing, because apparently Connery wouldn't come back, is why they didn't have all the Bonds there.
Hmm.
But Shirley Bassey, oh my god. That was great. But yeah, it's sad when, you know, a musical act is the highlight of the Oscars.
I have no idea what you just said, but it was probably something profound.
No, I said it's sad when a musical act is the highlight of the Oscars.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That is true.
And all I'm saying is I'm glad Life of Pi got 4 Oscars. Good for them. But 2 points. 1, what they did to Riveting News was absolutely fucking horrible. And 2, Moonrise Kingdom. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I know.
Now, what did you think of Seth MacFarlane's hosting?
You know, he did exactly everything I thought he was going to do. But again, you hire Seth MacFarlane to do the Oscars, that's what you sort of know you're going to get. So I wasn't really surprised by it, because that's kind of his shtick. The only time I thought, oh my god, I'm not sure that was appropriate, was a Lincoln joke. You know, everything else I kind of could see him making. And I do get the point that a lot of people are saying that, like, wow, he's making a lot of, you know, anti-women jokes. And after a while, it was kind of like, okay, dude, move on to a different subject. But the Lincoln joke was like, I mean, it's funny. I'm like, oh my god, because no one's ever made jokes about the Lincoln assassination. So it's kind of like, okay, dude, come on.
Well,
but
and Rob, just not for me to defend Life of Pi, but it was Django Unchained that upset Moonrise Kingdom, because Moonrise Kingdom was only up for Best Writing Original Screenplay.
I know. But no, my point being is that I would argue that Moonrise Kingdom should have probably been in the Best Picture category.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Instead of Life of Pi, yeah. And I'm fine with Django. I have no problem with that. Not exactly as I thought it was going to go. But that movie was visually better than, I mean, it should have been honored more for its visuals. Its writing was great, which it was. It got its props. That's great. And, you know, Bill Murray was exactly Bill Murray. You know, those kids were great in it. Bruce Willis was completely, like, counter-casting to what you would expect from Bruce Willis. And it's just one of those movies that Hollywood would normally like. And I just don't get, well, they must not like Wes Anderson. But, like, even Moonrise Kingdom, for example, you just want to keep Life of Pi. You have 10 slots. You only took 9. You know, it's better than The Master, for God's sakes. And Beast in the Southern Wild, I thought, was also really, really, really good and probably should have gotten a little more love. But, yeah. But I still don't think Anne Hathaway should have won, but that's just me. I mean, she was great. Don't get me wrong. But you have 2.5 hours of Sally Field fucking kicking ass, and then you've got Anne Hathaway for Cole Bennett.
Well, you know... Oh, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, it's to offset the Christoph Waltz thing where he's in it for basically the entirety of the movie. It's him and
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx, yeah. I had to pause for a second because I wanted to make sure I didn't say Wayne's brother. Jamie Foxx, he was in the supporting role. So what you do is you get, between the two, you have really what a supporting actor is, as opposed to.
Well, but I mean, and again, the studio basically put Christoph Waltz there because they thought he had the best shot of winning there.
Yeah.
I mean, they placed him. And I will say the one smart thing, the reason why Anne Hathaway won, is because even if you hadn't seen the film, you've seen the trailer that's basically her.
That's true. Yeah.
So smartly, they released that trailer as like an Oscar sizzle reel for her.
Yeah.
So that was really shrewd.
Yeah.
So, but
and
you know,
she wasn't bad at it. I'm not knocking at all. I thought Les Mis was actually a really solid film, and Hugh Jackman, you know, any other year that Hugh Jackman's a woman.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, but I'm with you. There's just something about there's something about. First of all, we've talked before, I mentioned before about how Daniel Day-Lewis has the acting version of the Speed Force, where just wherever he walks on set, suddenly everyone is, their game is like at 210%. I mean, Winona Ryder has given her two best performances, you know, acting opposite, Daniel Day-Lewis. But then you have Sally Field, who basically the scene where they're arguing, I was just like, please fucking just stop. You're fucking killing me. Please just have an Oscar and stop. You're breaking my fucking heart here. So it was like, yeah. It was almost like she didn't need it. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah. It's just like, you want to try to out act me? I'm Sally fucking Field. Let's go. You know, it was just like, oh shit. That was brilliant. Yeah. So.
And, yeah. But. You know, it's okay. She had a far more critically successful career than a lot of people, I think, on the surface think. You know, I think everyone still thinks of her as comedy and those type of roles that she did with TV. But, I mean, her dramatic roles are pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. I mean, well, I mean, you consider that's, you know, what was it? The two Best Actress awards that she had won, those were both dramas anyway, right? Because, I mean, Norma Rae and Places in the Heart.
Yes.
So those are dramas. So, but, I mean, that's part of the beauty of it is that she can do whatever. I mean, she can do Norma Rae, and then she can turn around and do Soap Dish. And it works. And she's brilliant.
And I think the comedy bit that she did with Farland at the during the ceremony, I think that really helped her get some other stuff down the road later, because she did comedy really well.
Oh, she does.
You know? Yeah, and I think people forgot that, you know. But.
No, that's good. She's good. I've always loved her. She's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
and again, I could never hope for tonight's show. We have no problem taking this one at the Oscars.
My personal disappointment is an animated feature film. I didn't think Brave was that strong of a film.
No.
Even up, you know, and frankly, I have not seen Frankenweenie or Paranorman, but Wreck-It Ralph.
Frankenorman wasn't that great. I mean, we saw it.
Frankenorman?
Yeah, or Paranorman, whatever.
Paraweenie.
Paraweenie.
Which is porn name. Anyway,
we weren't going to talk about that, John.
The, Wreck-It Ralph.
I was just interning. It was during college.
Wreck-It Ralph, which was, you know. I was going to say some more poor name. Anyway, anyway, Wreck-It Ralph was such an inventive and fun and heartwarming film. And to say that, given the two people that are leading in the cast, is strange, of course. But it was much better than Brave.
But it's John C. Reilly, right?
Yes.
What's wrong with John C. Reilly?
I can't think of him. And now he's brilliant, but I can't think of him anything other than Will Ferrell's sidekicks. So it's
Walk Hard.
Oh man, you need to see Magnolia.
I did see Magnolia. No, my point.
No, he doesn't need to see Magnolia. Oh no, he needs to watch the Tom Cruise scenes and listen to the Amy Mann soundtrack and then stop. Just say no to that.
But if you were to say that there was going to be a heartwarming film starring John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman, you'd be like, "What? You're high." And they probably were while they were doing it. Thing that I was going to say, but the Pirates, the band of Misfits, I don't even know why that's in there. It was not a very good film.
Because it was eligible. Because
there was only four that were any good. Is that what they're saying? fine.
I didn't get to see it. I did want to see it because it looked goofy as hell, and I like Aardman. But
it's a good. It's an Aardman. It's how do I say this? It does not live up to the other quality Aardman products.
So it's Aardman's Cars 2. It's what you're saying.
Yeah, essentially. Or Cars. I wouldn't go so far as Cars 2, but it's their Cars.
Okay.
It's a fun film, but it's not. Yeah. I wouldn't say that. You know, I have no desire to see it again. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Wreck-It Ralph, I want to watch again because it was just, you know, so fun. Brave, never had a really desire to see it again.
Yeah.
I get that the industry wants to work with
Pixar
and Disney, so, you know, they'll vote for Brave every day. But then again, Frankenweenie was a Disney film.
Well, so was Wreck-It Ralph.
That's true, too. Very good point. And you just stepped on mine, so there you go.
Oh, sorry.
No. Was Paranorman Disney as well?
No, that was...
DreamWorks?
No, it was shit. It was the people who did Coraline. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
It was distributed by Focus, so it was Universal. Ah! Was that me?
No, that was Autoplay from our friends at the Oscars.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. One last thing, and then we got to do recommendations. But I will just say, Oscars, I downloaded your fucking iPhone app so I could, and again, this is not an iPhone thing. This is an Oscars thing. Your fucking app, when I go to it, all I wanted to do was be able to look down and go, oh, well, that's who won. Because I didn't want to watch your fucking show. Because, I mean, it's 3.5 hours and I have a life. But it's like, every time it goes, would you like to go straight to the Oscars and watch it live? No, because I've got an app. I also have a television. If I wanted to watch it live, I'd turn on the fucking television. Don't force me to watch your fucking show.
Because you know what? Every year they screw up the memoriam every
year. Oh, here we go.
Year.
Yep. Thank you,
Rob. Who'd they miss this year?
Andy Griffith this year and Phyllis Diller.
But really, what did Andy Griffith ever do for the industry?
No, hold on. Phyllis Diller was in a film with Bob Hope. Andy Griffith did his film, Face in the Crowd, with Patricia Neal is fucking amazing, and it was directed by Elia Kazan.
Wait a minute.
Is he nominated for an Oscar?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who is asking if Andy Griffith and Phyllis Diller should have didn't deserve to be on
this
that
is,
bill.
This is the same people that missed Farrah Fawcett.
But people saying that Farrah Fawcett, for God's sake, I mean, even if, you know, some people could go Andy Griffith, Farrah Fawcett, wasn't she in fucking Extremities? Wasn't she nominated for that or something?
Yeah. They didn't even put Whitney Houston in, who arguably was in more movies than some of the other people they put
in. Yeah.
Yeah. God. Who must I cut?
They screw this up every freaking year.
They should just not do it. They would be better off just sending out a memo. These are the people that died. Have a nice day.
You know who does a really good job? Do you know TCM does a great job for the year-end memoriams? But, they do an awesome job.
But Phyllis Diller, like Splendor in the Grass.
Uh-huh.
She was in Sunshine Boys.
Yes.
And she did Bug's Life. So she did Pixar.
Yes.
And those are just the ones that people would recognize.
Well, the other thing,
Mad Monster Party.
They showed so much promise because they opened with Ernest Borgnine.
Huh.
You know, the first person they showed was Ernest Borgnine, and everyone was like, oh, fuck. And then after that, you know, they went to hell.
Yeah. All right. Well.
I don't think they put Tony Scott in, did they?
No. They didn't.
What?
No,
what?
They didn't put, Tony Scott. And the thing is, my coworker and I were saying, you know, he's done honestly more diverse films than his brother.
Yeah.
When you consider his amount of work, I love Ridley Scott films, but he has the same look to most of his films. Yeah.
whereas his brother really is a little bit more diverse.
Well, a lot of his films didn't get the credit they should have. Spy Game was actually really solid, and Unstoppable was actually really solid.
Yes.
So it's like, I mean, this is the guy who did fucking Top Gun, for God's sake.
Yep. Correct.
Jesus Christ.
I know. They fuck up every year.
Again, this is why Rox and I should host the Academy Awards.
That's right. Because you know what? We'll be self-deprecating and say, nobody really should be watching this show anyway.
No, you know what? I think you guys should produce the Academy Awards. Because then you'd be backstage going, God fucking damn it!
Everybody getting an award.
Bring me all the dead people.
We get a fist bump.
Dead people get fist bumps?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, you know what we could do is you make like face masks. You know, those like, you know, fans, you know, and just people hold them up in front of them.
Yeah. You know. That'd be awesome.
Oh my gosh, just like the Olympics when they do those cards and stuff. There's a card under your chair. Everybody will look like Phyllis Diller. Then they switch over and look like Ernest Borgnine. That'd be fun. I like that idea.
Ooh, well.
Yeah. That's amazing. They screw up. That's why I don't watch that show. That's why I do not watch the Academy Awards. I don't care.
I just don't care. Because I'm like, well, it's 3.5 hours and I can, you know, go online and check to see who won, as opposed to looking at the fucking app, which wanted to make me watch the fucking show.
Well, you know, if you had your Samsung, you wouldn't have had that issue because the video wouldn't have played at all.
You're absolutely right, John. The iPhone works too well.
Wow.
Which, you know, is sometimes true that the iPhone works so much better than my Android phone that it's almost scary, you know? Because you start doing things with it and then you realize, wow, I'm actually doing the stuff that I wanted to do with my Android phone, but I was so busy trying to deal with the fact that it was barely a phone. Wow.
So you're happy with your iPhone?
I fucking love my iPhone.
Okay.
Well, then why don't you go marry it?
Well, because I'm not a Mormon. Somebody's I'm already married.
And the Bible says it's illegal too.
Somebody's bitter.
It's so very nice. It just makes me happy. But anyway. All right. So recommendations. Now that we've thumbed our noses collectively at the Oscars, who wants to go first? Go Rox!
Okay. This book has been making the talk show circuit on radio and everything. And it is called Salt, Sugar, and Fat. What Fast Food Nation did for looking at the underbelly of, you know, what we eat quickly from, you know, drive-thrus and stuff. Salt, Sugar, Fat kind of does the same thing for processed food. It's written by Michael Moss, who is a New York Times research writer. Has actually culled a lot of whistleblower type investigation, where the funny thing is a lot of the people who are so-called whistleblowers, they know that the type of people they're reporting on are people that take themselves very seriously, such as the guy who did a lot of the marketing for Coca-Cola. I'm on the chapter about Philip Morris owning Kraft Foods and General Mills. You know, here you have a juggernaut, and what they do, they expound on, you know, when you're looking at products, you know, processed food, on how if it says like, you know, less salt or something, most of the time they bump up the other two. So yeah, you have less salt. However, there's just as much sugar and just as much fat in it. There's an interesting section on fruit juice, a whole section on like Tang and like Capri Sun, you know, those little squeezy drinks. They talk about the Capri whole Sun. Made Capri from Sun? Fruit, you know, Capri Sun, whatever, Capri Sun, you yes. know, those little pouches of drinks.
Deliciousness?
Yeah, well, the thing is they talk on how they get away with saying it's natural because they use fruit concentrate. Basically, there's no fruit left. However, they acquired all the sugar from stripping the fruit, you know, of its skin and stuff and any pulp, any of the bitterness. So basically, it's still sugar. However, they were able to process the crap out of, you know, pear juice, grape juice, whatever, to come up with the granules of sugar to allow the marketers to write that it is natural. It's really interesting, you know, the whole thing of just how much information this guy has gotten. Again, like the guy who left Coca-Cola, he's like, well, you know, I still have friends at Coke, you know, and some of the people who are scientists and stuff, they see them as themselves as problem solvers. They don't really see themselves as, you know, we're evil people doing harm. It's just, you know, in this day and age of people not wanting to cook and stuff, I mean, they take it far back as how the big food companies actually took over home ec. And where when home ec was taught in schools, you were taught how to shop for, you know, fruits and vegetables and stuff and how to cook. Now they were saying that big food made inroads by donating a lot of money and stuff for home ec programs, so that basically they're just showing, you know, girls, anybody that can take home ec, you know, how to become shoppers and consumers instead of like really making anything. So it's a really interesting take on that. Really interesting. And it does, it villainizes it in a way, but it's, the facts are really interesting that it's, you know, it's not always, you know, the people who believe in their product, you know, a lot of people believe in the products they're working on. That's the interesting thing. It's not like, you know, the whole cigarette thing, even though everyone's looking at sugar in a different way, because it is like an opiate that sugar is. Salt, sugar, fat. And Michael Moss and several other people have been making the rounds. And it was sort of funny. I was listening to Diane Rehm and they were on. And to counteract, Michael Moss and then this other woman that wrote another book about processed food, they had this guy on trying to say that Mark Bittman of the New York Times creates food that has just as much calories in it. It was just sort of, he had the, like, the lamest excuse, you know, for, you know, an argument for processed food. And it was Mark Bittman coming up with some sort of extravagant, you know, once a month type meal or something. So that's that. I've had to retire my ever-present backpack, that leather backpack that I've been touting around at Dragon Con forever. And I found a really good bag, and what I have is the sling bag. Some people call it the sling body bag, but it's a sling bag. So it's not really like a full backpack. Two straps. It's got one. The one I've had is like 10 years old. I mean, who here has a backpack that they've used for like 10 years? Anybody? Well, I have. And it's finally, I've actually tried to repair it and stuff. And it's finally, no, I've got to just get rid of it. So I found one, and the company is David and King, and you can actually get it through Amazon. It's a leather company through that are located in Boston, and I'm getting the distressed leather crossbody bag. So it's a distressed brown leather, and I should be getting it this week. It retails for like around $100, but it's good leather. So I'm retiring my old sort of steampunky bag. So I'm getting a new one. There you go.
Oh, the ding. All right, thank you, Rox. Uh-huh. All right, Rob, what have you got?
Well, first, I stumbled across this at an Oscar party thing I went to, and I'm actually really glad I did. It's called Hellraisers, a graphic biography by Robert Sellers of Jake. And basically, it interweaves a biography of Richard Burton, Peter O'Toole, Richard Harris, and Oliver Reed, all of the graphic novel about their exploits in London as, you know, sort of like it actors of the time, running around London. You know, you get everything: orgies, booze, shigget shenanigans. You also get the joy and excitement of seeing a story with Richard Burton, Peter O'Toole, Richard Harris, and Oliver friggin' Reed in it. So, Hellraisers. And, it's really, really good. It's, my self-made hero, which is a neat little comic imprint. A lot of fun. So I recommend that. And speaking of Oscars, for God's sakes, give Peter O'Toole one that's not an honorary. Also I want to recommend, the new book by Michael Palin called The Truth. It's very witty. It's very fun. He hasn't made a novel since 1998. This is back with him doing what he does sort of, I think, really, really well, is he does a very good sort of novel about a man taking a journey, figuring out who he's going to be. And it's part of it set in India, so you have this, like, exotic locale thing going on. But you have that sort of dry wind of Palin, but also keen sense of observation that he does very well. So I recommend that. It's coming out, The Truth, a novel by Michael Palin. You may have heard of. And I want to recommend, two CDs real quick. The first is a band called Churches. The evil Churches is actually a V kind of, just to be funky, but they're called Churches. And they have an EP out called Recover. These guys are going to be pretty big. They're getting a pretty big hype on all the music blogs right now. But the EP is, about four tracks long. And, it's not too bad. If you're a fan of sort of like modern, zappy kind of, electronic-y kind of rock sound, then that's probably what you want. And then also I would be remiss if I did not mention The Messenger by Johnny Marr. And if you're a fan of Smith, or if you're a fan of, say, Oasis, you'll like this, because this is kind of the bridge from the Smiths to Oasis musically in terms of how it sounds. Some really good songwriting on there, some sort of ramshackled guitars on it. And just a really well-produced, great record from Johnny Marr. So I do want to recommend that. And then lastly, the Doctor Who special editions are out again, another batch. I do want to recommend the Aztecs this time around. And mainly, I mean, the Aztecs itself is a William Hartnell story. Jacqueline Hill, who plays Barbara in it, is probably one of the best episodes that she has as a first Doctor companion. But in terms of being just an ambitious attempt for, you know, a BBC drama to do a science fiction story set in ancient Mexico, it's a pretty ballsy thing to do for 1954. And but the extras really make it. You get a bunch of really great features on the making of the Aztecs, a lot of stuff on like the where Doctor Who was at the time when they made it. But the best thing about it is they had released this episode called Airlock, which is one of the episodes of the complete story, Galaxy 4. That particular episode, Galaxy 4, not all the episodes exist in the BBC archives. But they found, about 2 years ago, this one episode from it called Airlock. And they have finally cleaned it up, got it restored, and put that on the DVD for the Aztecs. So it's this one episode of Doctor Who that, until the DVD came out, no one saw except for when it originally aired. So that makes it kind of cool. So that is all of mine. Ding.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Did you run across? I really want to get this eventually. Is the Richard Burton Diaries?
I've heard about this. I don't have it yet, but I've heard it's great.
Yeah, I've read like they had some excerpts in the New York Times, and that guy can write.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems, you know, when you consider. If you read his stuff, it's like, wow, there was this really cool scene where it's like he has reading days. He doesn't like to be bothered. And he writes in his diary that Maria Callas came by And he was just bothered that she came by because it was a reading day. He was set to just do nothing but read, and she comes by and just ruins his day. I mean, who else would write anything like? I mean, it was just, that is a book I really, really want to get eventually. So
that does sound fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't really complain to Maria Callas.
No, but he does. That's the cool thing.
Cool. All right, thank you, Rob. John, what you got?
All right, real quick, I'd like to recommend the Zytel PLA-407. It's a power line wall plug adapter gimmick. So what you do is you basically use the electrical wiring that's already in your building, in your house, whatever, to extend your network to a wired network. See, here's a problem that I was having. I just bought another set just today, actually. The problem I was having was that my Xbox is way across from where the home base is for my wireless router. And instead of running a wireless router, doing any extra bridging and whatnot, I just decided, well, I'll get my buddy had recommended power line LAN adapter. Now, I had tried power line LAN adapters back in mid-90s, maybe, when they first came out, and they were horrible. They have made a huge improvement. So if you're having a problem where you're kind of losing Wi-Fi signal to something that's a stationary object, such as an Xbox 360, grab that. You plug one into a power outlet near your router and just run a little LAN wire cable. That's what I was looking for. A LAN cable to it. And then you run another LAN cable out the other end where you plug in the other adapter, plug it into your device, and you're ready to go. You can even, if you want to, on the other end, you can put a switch or a router over there on that end, and maybe even create another network if you want to. But anyway, that's all beyond that. So check that out right now on Amazon. The one that's 200 megabits, they do sell a 500 megabit version. I've not tested that one up. The 200 megabit version works fine for me. Is $40 for a set of two, which is not bad at all. I would also like to recommend Wreck-It Ralph, which, as we were talking about earlier, I really, really enjoyed. Of course, I don't own the Blu-ray yet because it just came out today as we're recording this, but I will be purchasing said Blu-ray. I'm sure there's lots of goodies in there. I have no idea, which could probably tell you. Also, when I was looking up Wreck-It Ralph, apparently Kama Sutra Sexual Positions for Lovers in 3D, region-free, is available on Blu-ray, so... yeah, check that out. It's only $11. I don't know. Don't check it out. I don't care, really. But yeah, whatever you do, if you go there or not go there, you should probably go to needcoffee.com/payforwidgetserver.com. Right? That's the right URL, right, Widge?
Well, there you got two .coms in there, so I think that will resolve to someplace in Luxembourg. But you're close. needcoffee.com/Amazon. is the URL that you can use to go to the front page of Amazon. Like, you really did nothing, but really you've done a whole lot, because anything that you buy in that session, we get kickbacks for, and it does help pay for things like the server and the bandwidth that we use for this and, you know, stuff like that. So as Rob says, it helps keep the lights on. So if you do that, if you're going to buy stuff from Amazon anyway, please do it through there. It helps us out a great deal, and we thank you in advance for doing so. Now, the two recommendations that I have are, I don't think I mentioned this before, but the album from last year, Yellow and Green by Baroness, is actually really quite good. I've not heard their stuff before Yellow and Green. It's a double album. And they apparently were more heavy and metal in the past, but this is more like a progressive rock veering into regular rock and metal and stuff. Like you know, a real band with like real musical skills. I enjoy it quite a bit, so I urge you to go check that out. The tracks, I think you can find them on Bandcamp if you want to sample them. So you can check that out there. Also, I'd like to point out another recommendation, that if you are trying to, for health reasons, create a sub sandwich with mayonnaise on your child's head. You might ask, and I don't, and I know this is probably going to be a subject for, Help Me Rocks, but I don't want to steal your thunder, Rocks, but I wanted to put my two cents in that for me, and this might shock some of you, but I would not recommend using, you know, something really expensive like a Sawyer canola mayonnaise, you know, some kind of like Whole Foods mayonnaise, nor would I say, although normally anything with bacon is better, baconaise has a tendency to irritate your child's head. And yes, specifically your child's head, because we used your child in laboratory tests. I would just say some regular Hellmann's would be fine for that particular purpose. Because, I mean, really, you're trying to, your child's head is not going to be that tasty to begin with. So really, you don't want to spend a great deal of money for some frou-frou mayonnaise when really, when it comes to, you know, cannibalism like that, really the bread is the most important bit, I think. So there you go. I mean,
It's true. Nice. Nicely done, sir.
Nine out of 10 cannibals agree that you should really focus on the bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's so. They like when, what?
Never what?
Mind. I was going to say something about yeast infections, but never mind. I decided to avoid it. And by avoiding it, I meant just mention it and then make everyone make their own joke.
I like evil, John.
All I could say is I know you are, you are loath to put yourself on the soundboard, but that line would be like a great one on the soundboard.
Yeah, evil John is great.
Oh my God. Well, on that particular bombshell that John did, but also did not at the same time drop, I think we'll come to the close of another episode of Weekend Justice. And I think just like every week on Weekend Justice, we should probably all take a moment and what not think about what John was saying, but think about something else instead. And in fact, I think the smart thing to think about would be to look at each other and to simply say, well, I won't say lice, so I'll just go for mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise and lice.
Mayonnaise and lice.
And remember,
very, very nice. Remember, get the ice.
Remember, friends, that Robert Reed is the governor. Just remember that.
And Alice's head is in the big vat of formaldehyde.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Nice.
Because you know what? Mrs. Brady did find out about that bar of soap.
Although, okay, we'll throw this out and then we'll run away. But I think, imagine cosplayers for Dragon Con. Here is something that is going to be 100% original, okay? Think Alice, actress Anne B. Davies, think of that costume. Now mash that up with Michonne.
Oh, wow.
Right? Right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. You know it.
And you know what? It's perfect for your middle-aged con-goer.
That's awesome.
For those of us who are getting older.
Alice in the blue outfit with the apron, dreads, and a katana. All right?
Yeah.
Make it happen. Make it happen.
Hey, Widge, couldn't it be Alice's sister who came and visited that one time that made him do the calisthenics?
Ooh, yeah.
And then she went to the diner.
Yeah.
That Alice owned.
Yes.
Wow. Well, there you go. All right, now we run away.
All right. Woo! We can go.
All right. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without NeedCoffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, NeedCoffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at NeedCoffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
This is when we're leaving?
What's what?
This is when we're leaving?
I hope so.
For real. All
right. Yeah.
We need to make it to the cars quickly because the emergency exit siren will sound.
All right.
For real. Hang up first.